Secret Armada was my childhood gateway drug into action adventure games, and I'm thrilled to say that it's being remade for PS4, Vita, and Steam to be released in February. This is the first fourth wall breaking intro. Stay tuned for tonight's news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, August the 27th, 2017, with episode number 698 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, here with my co-host to talk about video games over there at Stark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
I'm dying.
Do you need CPR? Are you okay?
Hot.
Oh, it's the food you're eating, isn't it?
I normally don't eat spicy food because I'm allergic to peppers and chilies, but I've had Benadryl like all morning. And so I said, I'll be fine. Hot. My mouth feels like outside.
It's one of those things where it's like, I'm lactose intolerant, but once in a while, I just want to have some ice cream.
Oh, it was delicious, though.
But that's why they make pills, right?
It's like death in my mouth, and now I need to drink like... milk, lots of milk.
If this show was titled with quotes from the show like we used to do with Horde House, I would call this episode Death in My Mouth, would seem appropriate.
Death in My Mouth.
Oh my gosh, you guys, the show tonight has been a hot mess. It hasn't even started. Like, it's been a minute. It's like not
this
even
show
started.
Is my mouth.
No, look.
The hot mess.
Here's the deal. So I think, and I know some of you guys like to give me show. I need to introduce Techmaster Loki because I know he's going to harass me about this. Hi, Loki. How are you?
Hi.
Are you enjoying that burger?
No, not, see, here's the thing. It's like this is more of like one of those settling meals. Like I didn't really want it, but I was like, I couldn't decide on what I wanted. And I was like, fine.
This is the blind date meal.
Okay, it's just like I don't really want a bacon ultimate cheeseburger, but fine.
Yeah, it's like I have to eat something.
I have to eat something. Like I was like, McDonald's is gonna be shit. I don't want to eat tacos because I'm eating tacos every single day.
What's one more day of tacos?
I mean, it's good. I'm going to eat tacos tomorrow. Okay. But, like, it's just, I didn't want to get more tacos today. I was like, because I'm kind of tacoed out right now. So I was like, okay, I'll get a hamburger. Haven't eaten it yet. I'm sure it's mediocre, but, yeah, I'm just kind of like, eh.
So here's the thing, is that the studio may be on its – Studio N7 here that we're based in lovely Sacramento, California, it may be on its last legs. And I don't mean that in a panic way, but I mean that in a – you guys have given me shit over the years, and rightfully so probably, because I'm continuing to use Windows XP to run this show. And you guys are probably like, Rob, seriously? But I'm like, guys, seriously, and gals, seriously, like if something isn't broken – and you're doing this live show that you've done for over 15 years. If something isn't broken, I don't like to go out of my way to fix it. Well, unfortunately, now it might be broken.
Of course, you can always expect Microsoft to break something for you.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Skype has just decided it doesn't want to work anymore. I try to use the web online Skype. Nah, you got to have Windows 7 in order to use that. Even though it says right there on the site, it'll work on XP. Well, at least the client is supposed to work on XP, but I keep getting this whole error. I can't connect. So unfortunately, we can't have a Skype line tonight, which I'm really sad about because I love talking to you guys. But we couldn't do our toss call with Bobby Blackwolf that we do right at the end of his show because he usually has us on at the end of his show. Then I try to start tonight's show, and Winamp is just like, crash. I'm like, okay, and then what happens when I bring back up Winamp? My default playlist is gone because, you know, when we do this live show, there's a certain setup to it. You know, we have like a little song to bring us into the show, and then there's, you know, Jason's little intro. You know, you're listening to the Vogue Network, and then, you know, the little vocal cues, the intro you hear, all that stuff before the show comes up. It's all in a Winamp playlist because this whole thing is on Shoutcast, which runs through Vogue Network. And it's like, oh my God, then Winamp wouldn't work. And I'm just like, is this it? Is my computer dying? Is this on its last legs? I don't know what to think. So, ugh. Yeah, I'll have to think about how I'm going to fix that. Now, of course, we do have a live chat room every week. We do invite our live chatters to participate, live.vognetwork.com. And Rama suggests use your gaming PC for Skype. Wouldn't work because my gaming PC is way in the other room, and so they're not like next to each other, and I can't really like run that over. Now, the other backup plan he suggests here, use your iPad if you have the right cable. I have done that before. There was a period of time where we were using the iPad, and I don't remember. I think it was another Windows XP issue or something. I was able to use the iPad to do it, but since I wasn't prepared for that, I don't have my cables, like, and I'm not going to be able to get it while we're trying to do the show here. So unfortunately, we're just not going to have Skype tonight, and I'll just have some time to figure this out. If it's time up, it's time to finally upgrade this crap. Let's do it. And I kind of want to go to a laptop, because that would make the show very portable, which I think would be a great thing. We could do more event shows, like at places, you know, because we're making friends in the area and so forth. But I'm worried about, like, you know, I have very specific 1990s needs in my PC. And these modern, these newfangled laptops you kids are into may not play it. And, like, I've got to, so, yeah, I just, I'm having a crisis, everybody. It's that kind of night tonight. So I hope you all will bear with me. So we'll figure it out. Anyway, it was a good suggestions in chat here. Stoppy says, OLR brought to you by Netscape. Dude, Google Chrome won't even update on this computer anymore. It's like, I've abandoned you. So I don't know what to do. So, yeah. So I'm gonna have to figure this out. So at least I have a little time to do it, sorta. Although I'm going to be going out of town on Wednesday because I'm going to Dragon Con, and I hope to see you guys there at Dragon Con. We'll talk a little more about that in a little bit, but I suppose since this is a gaming podcast, we should get into some gaming news. So let's start tonight by talking about the Super Nintendo Classic. Now,
speaking of hot messes.
That's true. I can feel a lot better about my own personal situation by just thinking, at least I'm not Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, or one of these retailers that offered the Super Nintendo Classic for pre-order on Monday. And I'm not sure there's a lot I need to say about that. I'm pretty sure many of you who are listening to this show probably tried to pre-order one at some point, and I would imagine 98% of you were unsuccessful. Now, here's a disclaimer. I'm not saying this to rub this in because I seriously think I'm going to get screwed one way or another, but I actually got to pre-order one because, well, here's the thing. They went up at like 10:30 at night on Monday at BestBuy.com. That's 10:30 West Coast. It might have even been 11. And that's 10:30 or 11 West Coast time. Now, luckily, I'm a bit of an insomniac, so I was up anyway. And so I'm on Twitter, and I see the tweets come in that, oh, the Super Nintendo Classic's up for pre-order. And I'm like, I'm going through these motions. I'm not going to be able to get one, da-da-da. And, well, I'll be damned. I got one. I got one on BestBuy.com, and I even got the email confirming it. I got a tracking number and all that good stuff. But then I have that little voice in the back of my head this whole time. So did those people at Walmart.com that pre-ordered a couple months ago, asshole. So nothing is for certain in this world. So, theoretically, I have somehow managed to win this stupid, unnecessary game and actually pre-order a Super Nintendo Classic for now. But we'll see if that actually holds.
I signed up for all the notifications for that stuff.
Yep.
So I got the notification on my phone. I even opened the page. But then I got to the page to order it, and I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. I'm just not. I'm like, you know what? I'm not fucking giving them the benefit, you know, I'm not giving them the satisfaction of it. So fuck them. I'm not ordering that system. I'm tired of this bullshit. If it's readily available at the store, I may pick one up.
So one way of phrasing it could be, you have had it officially.
I've had it. I'm done. It's not worth it. And honestly, watching the game, Star Fox 2 sounds pretty amazing. I watched the gameplay of it. I'm like,
you can buy Proto Karts too.
Well, it'll, the official ROM will dump immediately. I mean, so I'm not worried about that, but it's like,
there's also been some side buys with the Proto, and they have changed a significant amount, especially in regards to localization, it seems. So
I mean, it's cool, but I, you know,
no, I get it.
I'm not giving them the satisfaction for this.
No, I totally get it, and I'm in this weird place because I'm like, well, Rob, you should consider yourself lucky that you got one.
I mean, look,
and then there's another part of me that's like, but do you really though?
This
have
is,
one.
This is the company that gives their systems to fucking GameStop, ThinkGeek, you know, quote unquote, because they're the same fucking company. And they're like, yeah, you can buy one of those systems if you buy $200 worth of bullshit with it. Fuck them. Fuck them. Seriously. They can produce those systems. They can produce those systems cheap. It's just a fucking Linux board in there. You can't tell me, oh, we can't manufacture this shit in China. Bull fucking shit. So, whatever. I'm not buying it.
Well, let me ask this question, because I feel like, you know, obviously, again, 98% of the internet is extraordinarily frustrated right now, and that's probably a generous number, that as high as 2% of the people that wanted one actually got to pre-order. I'm probably being really fucking generous with that number, because I don't have any actual stats. Here's my question is, to try to put a positive spin to it, Loki, and I know that that's hard on these types of topics, but realistically, important word, realistically, what can be done so this shit stops? Any thoughts?
Produce enough systems. Don't just produce them for 4 months. Produce enough systems. They do it for the fucking amiibos. They can do it for this. They do it for other accessories that people don't buy much of. Why can't this be produced? What is so difficult about this? Nothing.
So they need to not close it off this time like they did with the NES Classic. What I still say is because they fucking figured out how to put, how to backdoor a million other ROMs onto those things. That is why they stopped production of those
things.
They're
going to do that with this one, too.
Exactly. It's going to happen with this one, too. Nintendo thinks
it's not going
to happen.
They can do it with everything. There's nothing you can do to prevent that. You know how I... There is nothing you can do to prevent that. I was going to say, you know how you remove it? It's just take out the USB port. Nope, there's really nothing you can do about it. Because if people want to fucking hack that chip, they're going to hack it. If you put them on the chip, then obviously someone can put them on the chip as well. Or they can take them off the chip. It's not impossible.
I think, okay, there's from my perspective, there's one very easy thing that should be done for this, and that is that these retailers need to be using CAPTCHA, or they need to be using more. These retailers need to do more to prevent the bots. They need to stop that. And I think the only reason why, you know, for all practical purposes, Best Buy stayed up for a good 20 minutes. I think that's better than most people were expecting when it comes to these pre-orders. Yes, I realize it was the middle of the night, but look, the West Coast is a big place. There were still a lot of people that were going, you know, LA and, you know, all the people, Seattle, Portland, all the people on the West Coast are, and there's Insomniacs on the East Coast too. There were plenty of people gunning for those systems. And the bots got tricked out of that one because the URL had changed, right? Which caused that whole bullshit where... They didn't get the emails fired off for people that requested the emails when those go live, and just the general bullshit of the fact that it went up in the middle of the night for most people, which, you know, while yes, it worked in my favor, sure, I can acknowledge the bullshit factor that it should have been something where they said Wednesday at noon it's happening and everybody's got a shot. Like, I don't think it's one of those things they should have snuck out there in the middle of the night. Like, I can acknowledge that it was pretty bullshit in that regard. Why are bots allowed to order these things? We've got to do more about bots ordering this shit.
You gotta ask Nintendo, though, what's the point? Why even put out the system in the first place if you're not going to produce enough units? Why even make it? Like, if you're so, like, dissatisfied with the fact that people hacked the NES Classic, why even double down and put out a Super NES Classic? What the hell is the point if you're not going to produce enough units? Why are you even doing it? To get Nintendo's name out there, you already have your name out there with a bunch of other things. All you're doing is causing frustration because people are trying to give you money for this shit. You don't have the fucking virtual console anymore. It's not out. And whatever this other system that you're putting in place, which we still don't know fuck anything about, is still not here. Whenever the hell is that coming out? Like, what the fuck are they doing? I mean, what's the point? Then don't manufacture that.
If they can't prevent the bots... then you know what? They need to go the route of Toys R Us. And I'm actually going to applaud Toys R Us in this scenario. And the reason why I'm doing that is because Toys R Us just said, you know what? We're not taking pre-orders. It's only going to be available in store the day it comes out. And you know what? At least I know with that particular method, there's not going to be fucking bots. Will there be scalpers? Of course there will be. There's going to be crazy fucking people that get there early, early, early and are going to fuck it up in that capacity. But... if every retailer was doing it this way, then those scalpers can't be at every single possible location. If they limit it to one a person, then that end of it is only going to go so far. So I kind of think in that regard, Toys R Us is doing what they can, which is, you know what, we're not going to be able to handle the pre-order thing, so we're just not going to do it for anybody. And I think that's probably the best thing to do for them. Now, as far as the scalper thing goes, here's the other thing. And I know I've ranted about this on the show before, so I'm going to try to just keep this brief, but I can't say this enough. You have to stop buying from scalpers. You don't need the system that bad. If Nintendo wants you to have one, you'll be able to get one through official channels. If the scalpers can't sell them, then they're not going to be shitting up the market with the bots and all this other stuff.
It's a Linux computer running an emulator.
They do this because, but it's still a collectible Loki. That's in a way, I'm gonna be real. That's an elitist defense. It's the whole like, well, if you knew more about computers, you could do this and do this all this stuff. Some people want the collectible. They still want it because it's an official Nintendo product. They want to go through the official channels. I still stand with you in the fact that before I buy from a scalper, I would do that. And I said that on a previous episode. I will steal the ROMs and put them on one of these little machines before I ever buy from a scalper. And you know what? If Nintendo decides to cut it off again before you're able to get one through official channels, go for it. As much as I think piracy hurts things and all this stuff, go for it. I support you in doing that. If Nintendo is going to say, no more, we're going to end it, then go for it. That's kind of where my head is at with that. But anyway, you've got to stop buying from scalpers. And yes, I knew the whole argument about, well, Rob, if I don't do it, someone's going to buy it and that whole thing. But you don't understand. You need to also tell other people, and you need to be like, if somebody tells you, oh, yeah, I got one through a scalper, dude, you should – dude, that's not cool. Like, here I thought you were lucky, but you're just kind of – you're jerking the system.
In the end, though, you can't tell people what to do. End of story.
I can't, but I'm going to say this is a problem as long as that exists.
But
you are enabling. I can say you are free to do that, but you enabled this.
But that's not the other part of it, too. The whole thing is that there is going to be somebody. There's a sucker born every minute.
Sure.
You'd have to instead make it to where the scalping itself is more difficult. It's not necessarily the people that are doing it, because people will go to extremes. Why does intervention exist? Okay. People will go to extremes. People will take advantage of people who will go to extremes. It's like dealing with an addict, right? You have to cut down the source of the addiction and then treat the problem. You have to get somebody clean before you can treat their problem. And so you'd have to instead target the scalpers and, you know, ostracize them, chase them out, send law enforcement after them. If you see it happening, report it if you want something to be done about it. Don't go attacking the people who are being taken advantage of.
I agree to an extent. There's kind of like a pyramid of responsibility here. The person most at fault in this scenario is Nintendo, period. Nintendo is creating this fucking problem. Nintendo needs to fucking fix it. And journalists out there need to hold them fucking accountable for this in the NES Classic.
How about this? This also will help, too. All the media sites out there talking about how quickly this shit sells out and running all these stupid, you know, articles about how the system's selling out and Nintendo is being ridiculous for this stuff. Just stop covering it. Stop giving them the fucking attention. They create this circus, so
there's no money
in
that.
Covered.
There's no money in that.
But people click on those stories, unfortunately. So the pyramid of responsibility. Nintendo, number one. The websites, number two. And they need to fix that. And they need to prevent the bots and all that. But ultimately, the people creating the demand have responsibility. And I'm pointing
out. That's leading back to the revenue generated on those clickbait websites.
Agreed.
So that's also leading back to Nintendo seeing that this is a potential moneymaker by building hype. It's more or less, in the long run, if you really want to point to the true blame and everything, it's the fact that we are living in a fairly uncontrolled capitalist society. It's capitalism, pure and simple. It goes back to the same philosophy. You know, you create the demand and you do whatever you can to keep the demand going, which creates revenue, which lines pockets, which then goes back into the economy, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into, you know, the year and a half of economics I shoved in my brain. But it really is more of a societal urge.
I do agree with that, which is why when it came to the NES Classic, I said, okay, I'm not able to get one through normal means. I don't need one that bad. I'm not going to buy one. I'm not going to go through these other channels and do it. And it's the same thing. If for whatever reason the Super Nintendo thing falls through and I'm not able to get one through normal means, I don't need one that bad.
And see, it's more or less a conditioning of society. in general, we are conditioned. Well, look at the 80s, okay? Let's just stop right there and look at the fucking 80s. Everything, it was me, me, me. I need to have, I need to acquire. Look at the movies that were out then. You know, how, you know, materialism was really pushed. And our society is built on a sense of materialism. Our whole economy is built on materialism. Acquire, acquire, gain this. If you have this and no one else does, you're special. And it, to point blame and to say, how do we fix this? The only fix is re-educating people.
And what I was trying to say with the whole putting the people who buy these things from scalpers responsible is I'm just trying to say, oh, you got that from a scalper? You're not special. That's what I'm going to say. That's just, you know, what I'm choosing to do as a response is that enables that whole thing. So if you got it from a scalper, you're not special.
And just the thing that I think needs to be a bigger push in society, and I hate to phrase it this way, but I think it's the first step. The first thing that people need to understand in their hearts that will stop pretty much all of this from going on is that the things that you own you.
Let me go to some comments from our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. SSG100 Matt says, we're getting too deep here. She right, though. Also, come on, Noel Gustin chat says, if I'm lucky enough to find one at the retail price, then I will probably buy it. I refuse to even consider buying one of those crazy-ass $300 ThinkGeek bundles. Oh, my God. Let's just put that on the list of reasons why I don't set foot in a GameStop
it's
anymore.
Because
I don't need that soon-to-be-on dollar store shelves merchandise.
See, here's why they do that with hardware. Hardware, there is no margin in. It's like literally $2. You lose that in shipping. So you're literally selling that either at cost or at a loss. You make it up with software. These systems, though, I don't know if that same kind of margin exists. I would think that it doesn't. I would be willing to bet that the hardware that's in these new ones are probably the same as the old ones. So the extra $20 that they've made up there, I mean, there's got to be some margin in there. But let's just say, assuming that it's like that, that's why they throw this extra crap in there. But then again, this is also GameStop, so they just do it because they're also greedy as fuck as well. Because they know people will be tempted and people will buy it.
It's not really just them. It's every company out there. They know people want it. They'll do what they can to make people want it. And then they'll do whatever they take to get the money out of them. That's not solely for one company versus others. In the end, they all have the same goal: get your money.
And we have to really encourage ourselves to fight that instinct of, I'll be a special snowflake if I have one. And we have to fight that instinct and say, you know what? It's not worth buying this crap bundle from ThinkGeek to get one. You know, if I can find one at retail price on my terms, the consumer's terms, then cool. But if I can't find that, then fuck it.
We just have someone who lets us know when they get them in. So that's how we got our Ness. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I mean, well, our legit reason for not really needing it, I mean, having the Star Fox 2 would be cool. But our thought, the only reason that we wanted one is so that we could have the digital hookup without having the lag with our HDTV.
Yeah, HDMI, that whole thing.
So that's really our sole reason for really wanting it at all. But other than that, we've got a SNES and we have an EverDrive. In the long run, SNES plus EverDrive equals all of this shit.
But think about how short-sighted this shit is with these systems. I mean, seriously, like, they should just be releasing a virtual console system that can tap into the eShop to buy virtual console games, or that can subscribe to that service, and then push that shit out there like crazy, because that's what fucking Netflix and these other, you know, companies do. Like, they literally will pay for the system. Like, if you're signing up, for example, like Sling or something like that, they will literally give you a credit for the device that plays that shit on your TV.
They make money on planned obsolescence.
So do what Microsoft's doing, because they have the Xbox Game Anywhere thing now that plays a lot of the 360 games for Xbox One.
Well,
right?
Even more so, because like this is more for like, you know, get as many of these systems out there, because then you can get people paying you even more money. If you're worried about that, you're not making enough of a margin off of these systems, like, let's just say Nintendo, just throw it out there that Nintendo is not producing a lot of these because they're not making money off of them. They're kind of coming at a loss or something like that. Whatever. Which is still their stupid idea because they're producing them, so who they have to blame for that themselves. But it's another opportunity to get more money. And at the same time, people will be able to buy more games. People want to put more ROMs on there. Learn from your fucking users. People bought them and they wanted more ROMs on there. Okay, cool. Give them an opportunity to purchase more ROMs. What is the problem? But do it cheaply. Add, like, bundles and shit. So that way, it's more of an impulse buy. End up like how it is with my PlayStation Network library, my Steam library, where it's like, oh, hey, that looks cool. I buy it. I may not play it, but it's a... I don't even think about it. I just like, oh, that's a great deal. I'm going to pick that up. And it's just so easy for me to drop money on that stuff. Make it that easy instead of this fucking obstacle course of shit that you're making it for all these users. Because eventually people are going to get fucking tired of your shit.
All right. Well, look, I don't want too much salt in the opening moments of Orange Lounge Radio here tonight. But I think the reality is that a lot of people, again, you know, most people couldn't get one this week. I think there is a lot of saltiness out there right now. So I think we've all been able to vent a little bit. And, you know, I hope Nintendo can, you know, figure it the hell out. But at the same time, I hope the industry can kind of hold Nintendo accountable. And I hope people in the journalism arena will ask Nintendo some of these hard questions about why do you keep doing this to your fans?
And they'll fucking dodge it like Reggie does every fucking time.
Everybody plays so fucking nice and plays into this. And we need some people out there that will ask harder questions. It's just ridiculous.
I'll be the asshole to ask questions.
Yeah, but the problem, and then we all know what happens. I know the chat comments are about to come in. And this is why Reggie never comes on your show. I understand, but I need other people.
Well, he also doesn't know we exist.
But then, that's fine. I need other
people. I'm sure he knows we exist.
I need other, somebody got like two questions. That was Rama, like an event, got two questions. Remember that? We had an exclusive interview.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that joking aside, I just need, people need to fucking hold Nintendo accountable. Look, I get it. We all love Nintendo products. They've created some of the most memorable characters over the years. They create some damn addicting games. I get it. But at the same time, this hardware shortage shit has been going on since the 90s.
And they know it works.
They're exploiting your love. Seriously.
It's a tried and true tactic.
Well, it's time for people to stand up and shut it down, for God's sake.
Are we
going
to
fucking abusive Rob, relationship?
Rob, are we going to break the wheel? Nintendo's on top, then Sega's on top.
Anyway, well, Sonic Mania is pretty good on the Switch, though. Now, where does that put us? All right, look. Anyway.
Well, Sonic Mania was made by Sonic fans anyway.
That is very true. Very true. All right. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and move on with the show and get into our gaming weeks. So what types of video games have you been playing this week? Did you revisit a Super Nintendo classic this week, or has it been something else?
I did.
Else? Oh, how about that? Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I did. I played Super Mario World last night because someone's like, well, you do the level. And I'm like, okay, I'll do the level. Fuck. And did the level. And guess what?
You did the thing.
I was fussing because I was like, why didn't you go get the green switch block? And like, oh, well, we hadn't gotten there yet. I was like, well, give it to me. I'll do it. And I didn't do it. But I cleaned the level instead. And then I tripped over the cable and unplugged the Super Nintendo. And that was my Super Nintendo-ing.
What level was it? Now you got me curious.
It was like early on in the game. We had just started.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I played all my iOS stuff. So, not really a whole bunch of anything. I still have yet to reinstall my Mass Effect Andromeda since it got fucked up.
Oh, yes. And they have that patch now, the last patch, quotey mm-hmm. fingers, that I suppose is worth visiting. I need to sit down with that again on PlayStation 4 now that it's where it's at. You know, because I kind of said, all right, if they're going to keep making changes to this game, then I'm just going to step away from it for a little while and I'll come back when all the patches are there. Well, now that they're there, I really do owe the game a complete playthrough. I was near the end, but I just didn't finish it. So. Well,
although it was funny, I was actually thinking about a YouTuber yesterday at lunch who does, in fact, we're trying to get him on the show. Game Tim, who does Cooking with Cooking Mama.
Yeah, I think we were talking to him, but then our unexpected hiatus came up, so we're got to work that out, yeah.
I went to get Korean food yesterday, and I'm going to mispronounce it, but this thing is called Haemil Paejeon, which is like a seafood pancake, and he did that on Cooking with Cooking Mama, and I was like, oh, that makes me think about his channel. And I was like, I'm a nerd.
Yes, you are.
But
all right.
it was pretty fun.
All right,
that's really the extent of my gaming week.
Let's check in with Loki. How was your gaming week?
First off, I'd like to say dinner was fucking terrible, and I threw it away.
Oh, sorry,
I took one
that.
Bite of that, and you'll definitely be able to relate with this. I took a bite of the hamburger.
Uh-huh.
All I could taste, and I'm gonna try not to make you sick here. Warm mayonnaise.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. I threw it fucking away. Just no. Yeah,
that's why I. Always,
French fries were fucking stale, and somehow this tastes like diet root beer, which I don't think they have, but it tastes like fucking watered down shit.
Do you need juice or something from the fridge?
You know what, though? At the very least, I got a vanilla milkshake from them, and that was good.
All right, at least there's that.
So I'm going to have vanilla milkshake for dinner. That'll be fucking dinner. Anyways, so no actual games. I did play an actual game this week. I went back in my Steam library because I've been watching the movie and I built the Legos and stuff. So I went and played the Lego Movie video game. And actually, I thought that was pretty fun. It's, you know, your typical Lego video game. I mean, honestly, they're all about the same. Tons of clips thrown in from the movie and stuff. You know, lots of humor. It's kind of funny. I enjoyed it. So I played a little bit of that. And then I actually didn't play a whole lot of other things. I thought about I was actually going to play some VR stuff this week, but then my wife wanted to watch TV, and so that kind of, well, now that I think of it, what the fuck? I would have a VR headset, so I guess it wouldn't really matter. Oh, whatever. Hindsight. So I ended up researching on how to set up a Raspberry Pi for RetroPie, so I've been downloading everything for that since I have a Raspberry Pi to do that. Just haven't gotten around to it. Although I do need to fix my 3D printer to print a shell for it so that it has something to sit on for now. I mean, because I probably need to put it in something so it doesn't short itself out. And then just, you know, cell phone games. And, you know, that's about it pretty much.
Okay. My gaming week. So there is a new game I've played this week. But mostly been a lot of the same old, like, classics that I play all the time, but I did play one new game this week, and in fact it was the game that I played after Orange Lounge Radio last week, because usually on Sunday nights right after Orange Lounge Radio is finished, I'll go on my Twitch channel and I'll play something, and we've done things like Splatoon and Mario Kart and things that I play with viewers. But last week I was like, well, I want to do like an indie game, and I've been hearing a lot about this game, so let's do like a new game and me play it for the first time. So the game I did after the show last week was a game called 20XX or 20XX.
Oh, yeah, that looks pretty
2000XX.
Good.
2000XX. I'm not sure how you
20XX.
Exactly,
it's just 20, like in Mega Man 2.
Yeah, when they in the intro.
20XDX.
Yeah, basically. 20XDX. I think I'm going to call it that, 20XDX. But anyway, that was the game I played, and it's really cool. Yeah, it's basically, it's a Mega Man-ish game, and there's a lot, of, like even in the intro sequence.
Roguelite,
like,
I guess.
Wow, there's it's a Mega Man roguelike. So instead of necessarily picking the different boss stages, you kind of start in the first level, and you're going through, and if you're able to survive all the way to the boss, then you fight the boss, and then you can pick, do you want the boss weapon, or do you want, you know, extra currency or like extra energy pack or something. And then you can pick one of three branching paths and you will see who the boss is and what the stage is. But then you kind of have to go from there. And each level that you go, the difficulty of the level starts to amp up a little bit. But then once you die, you're dead and you're back to the central hub, where like a lot of roguelikes, if you've ever played things like Rogue Legacy, Crypt of the NecroDancer, you know, all these games have a very similar formula. So once you die, you go back to the hub where you can buy like sometimes temporary power-ups, good for your next run, permanent power-ups, which will help you and give you an advantage the next time, and then that's how the next time you play, you can hopefully go a little further in the game. So, and there's even more to this game that I didn't even really get a chance to explore. Like, I know there's co-op in it, didn't even really touch that. There's challenge modes available in it that I didn't really get a chance to touch, just because I have been enjoying the single-player campaign, and I had a great time streaming that on Twitch last week, and it seemed like a lot of you really responded to that, too. I think some of you told me you were going to buy it, so I was like, tell the developers.
Maybe, yeah, exactly.
Maybe they don't want to come on OLR.
Well, that's,
did them a favor.
This is like kind of what Mighty No. 9 should have been.
Yes, actually, yes. And so a lot of people responding very positively to this game. And I got to say, you know, I mean, is it perfect? I mean, no, because sometimes the randomness of the levels does feel a little bit, I feel like I'm doing some of the samey jumping patterns and some of these things like over and over, which, you know, in a regular Mega Man game, you expect that because Mega Man's all about fucking patterns. But in a roguelike, you kind of hope there'd be a little more randomness. But I'm being very nitpicky with that statement. I think overall, I am enjoying it. And overall, like the, you know, just the discovery of the game and going a little deeper every time and some of the boss fights and how they can change and be different. Like, I was really enjoying it. And here's the other thing. The price is great. It was only $12. Now, I think I bought it on some type of launch week sale that's probably not there anymore. But I think the quote-unquote real price is like $15.99. Like, I don't think it's much more expensive than what I paid for it. So I recommend it. Like, if you like Mega Man and you like roguelikes, you know, I know some people that are like, I hate roguelikes. But I kind of feel like you're dismissing a really broad genre by saying you hate roguelikes. You know what I mean? Like, is there one or two that you played that you didn't like and you're kind of dismissing the genre? Because I kind of think your love of Mega Man will erase any reservations you have about roguelikes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, the Mega Man aspect is much more than the rogue side of it. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. Looking in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, just trying to see. Stoppy says, I've been playing 20XDX since Early Access. It's great. They've come a long way. The improvements were notable. Funny to think Mighty No. 9 backers would have been happier with this tribute game. SG100 Matt says, Mighty No. 9 didn't have to be like 20XDX. Mighty No. 9 is great on its own. It's just the delay saga poisoned the game for everyone. Give Mighty No. 9 a chance. So... I got Mighty No. 9. I don't know if it was in a Humble Bundle. No, I bought it on a Steam sale. It was like $5 during a Steam sale. I still haven't played it yet. So that's also on my list of things, you know, because I value what some of our longtime listeners, like SG100 Matt, has been listening for years and years, say. And if he says, you know what, you really need to just, like, don't listen to this hype and just give it a chance, I'm willing to give it a chance. And it probably really isn't as bad as most people say, but it's probably also not quite the Mega Man clone game people were hoping for. But maybe if you were disappointed in Mighty No. 9, maybe there'll be something in 20XDX that will work for you, you know? And maybe the reverse is even true. If you really do hate roguelikes that much and 20XDX doesn't work for you, maybe Mighty No. 9 you should give a second chance, if that makes sense. So, but anyway, overall, my opinion on 20XDX, very favorable, especially because of the fact that it is such a low cost. It does feel more homegrown and indie developed. I think it's a very, like, fleshed out, great game, and it's definitely worth a look if you're into that genre at all. My only concern, I hope it's not too close to Mega Man, where Capcom's going to rear their head. I hope instead Capcom may see the message here from the success of this game and go, maybe we shouldn't have canceled Mega Man Universe, because maybe that's what that game was supposed to be. Maybe, I don't know. But maybe we should revisit this franchise, because I bet if Capcom did an official Mega Man release, and I mean new release, I don't mean yet another Legacy Collection with
just
some...
Just do like a Sonic Mania release.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously.
Well, they've done that before. Like, they have the
Capcom
free...
should listen. Remember, the fuck up to how
have,
people
like,
are responding
free,
to Sonic
like,
Mania.
Like, Mega Man... Street Fighter game or something like that?
Yeah, but that wasn't even Capcom. I think Capcom kind of blessed it. Like, I think they had to. I think Capcom kind of said, we're going to just kind of turn around and not really pay attention to this. Or no, I think they may have even endorsed
it
on their blog.
They did on their blog.
They did. So I guess they didn't acknowledge it. But I think it was one of those very clear, like, this is a fan game. We're allowing it. You know, so maybe because of that, that sets a good precedent that Capcom is not going to try to shut this down. You know, and I hope they don't. And I think there are enough differences where if it the whole fact that
it's not taking away from anything that they're doing. If anything, it's making people more excited about
the
their
fact
games.
That it is a roguelike does change the basics of the game dramatically. And I think that's enough to get it out of any hot water with Capcom. I think the fact that it is a roguelike is going to kind of separate it enough. Because like I said, the original Mega Man games are all about memorizing those fucking patterns on how to get through the level. You can't really do that with this game. So, I mean, there are some of those fundamental differences there.
You know
what
would be awesome is like a Mega Man game where you have like power-ups from other like Capcom characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the Bionic Arm from Bionic Commando.
Well, remember like in that early Mega Man Universe trailer, there was the whole like Ryu showed up and like, or Mega Man threw a fireball or something. And
but that's been there since like X. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? So anyway, that was the new game I played this week and I enjoyed. Otherwise, it's just been kind of like old favorites. Still been playing Overwatch, Final Fantasy 14, Diablo 3. I randomly played Heroes of the Storm again. I don't know. Oh, I know what it was. I was watching my buddy Delvin, who does another podcast called Video Game Realness. It's not, they don't put out a ton of episodes, but they put out one recently. And he also does some video game streaming out there. So I was watching his channel and he was playing League of Legends and we were having a little bit of a chat about League of Legends. I was kind of talking about some of my hesitations with that game, but he was having fun with it. And it did kind of make me go, well, maybe I should see what's going on in Heroes of the Storm. It's been a little while. And now that there's no like active play this game a lot to get a D.Va suit or, you know, some of those things that Blizzard was doing to get more people to play Heroes of the Storm. I feel like I can just kind of go into an AI game and just play it and be satisfied. And I'm doing those little quests to earn a little bit of gold. And I'm perfectly content doing that. And I don't feel pressure because it's not PvP. And, you know, I'm having fun. So I'm not playing a lot of it, but I'm playing just enough to kind of go, oh, yeah, this is a fun little different type of game to play to decompress a little bit. And who knows? Maybe in the coming weeks I will feel adventurous enough that I'll go in and I'll try a PvP match again. Just right now I'm a little bit hesitant on that with Heroes of the Storm. But I wanted to see. They actually put D.Va in as a hero in Heroes of the Storm. I think they put Genji in too. They put some more Warcraft and Starcraft characters because Starcraft got its remaster. That whole thing came out. So, you know,
yeah.
People are paying attention to that. I'm super curious, you know, starting this week, actually. I don't think it's on our show roll, so I think I'm okay to talk about this. Starting this week, the Destiny 2, if you pre-purchased it, meaning you already gave them the full money, you would be able to play the beta in the... Well, no, you get 1 day early access to the open beta. So if you pre-purchased, you get that 1 day, and then the open beta is like the 29th through the... I can't do the open beta because I fly out of town early morning on Thursday. I can't do it. So the beta won't be open. I won't be able to play it. But, of course, Destiny 2 on PC is going to be in the Battle.net interface. So that begs the question, would they go so far as to include a Destiny character in Heroes of the Storm? I know some Blizzard people are like, shut up, because Destiny is an Activision game or a Bungie game. It's not a Blizzard game. And I'm like, well, that's not stopping them from showing up on Battle.net. That's the first date. that's first base. Who knows? Destiny 2 might get to second or third base.
Is third base having like a pre-order or like a skin in your collector's edition for like a World of Warcraft expansion or something?
I don't know. I think a home run would just be straight up like Blizzard develops Destiny 3 or something. I don't know. I'm going crazy. But, I think I wouldn't completely shut the door to that. I mean, it is still all Activision at the end of the day. Who knows? ActDef suggests skins for Overwatch maybe. So maybe not characters, but maybe like an icon or one of those like sprays or a banner, maybe something a little more cosmetic. I could see that. That could definitely be something. So we'll see. Anyhow, let's move on. We're going to get into some more gaming news, but I do want to do some quick, of course, housekeeping and announcements here at the top of the show. Quickly, I do want to mention that we're not going to be here next week. And this is a planned week off. I've been saying this for forever. But it is Labor Day weekend coming up, which means we're going to be at Dragon Con. I'm going to be at Dragon Con. Sadly, Dark Soccer and Loki aren't able to take the trip out to Atlanta, but this is going to be like my fifth Dragon Con. I'm excited to be there with some of my other friends from the Voice of Geeks Network, including Bobby Blackwolf will be there, and John from Critical Myth is going to be there. Gary from Critical Myth is going to be there. Brian from British Invaders is going to be there. That's everyone that I know of that's going, and sometimes I run into random people.
On that Sunday, though, for people who can't make it, if you're in the Sacramento area, is the Rainbow Festival. So come downtown and show your support.
So no faux LR next week either, because you're going to be busy with that, right?
I probably will be back late enough or in enough time that I might be able to stream that night.
Gotcha. So. Don't they have like Tiffany or something performing? They have like 80s. I think they have like Tiffany or something.
I have to look again.
Yeah, I saw that and I laughed. I was like, I would totally go to this if I was going to be in town.
But if I'm right, I think that the main stage is hosted by Tearing Through You again.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had Detox.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, I've seen Taryn. She's a local drag queen. Yeah. And I've seen her at Badlands before. She's good. She's good.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. I hope I'm not wrong on this, but I think she's an older queen too. So I think she gives old people like me hope. Anyway, my schedule at Dragon Con, for those that are going to be meeting me in Atlanta, you can check out one of four panels I'm going to be on at Dragon Con. You can check out a panel called It's Just a Game, social contracts, and multiplayer gaming. These are all, by the way, on the podcast track. So this does tie into podcasting. That's going to be on a Friday at 1 p.m. And I'm going to be joined by Bobby and Paul and Dennis from Giant Size Team Up. And we're going to have a talk about implied social contracts and multiplayer gaming from the tabletop to the video screen. So that's going to be interesting, kind of like how that those social dynamics kind of translate into what we're doing here in podcasting and so forth. And I think that could be very interesting. So we're going to talk about that on Friday. Then I have a couple panels on Saturday. We're going to be on a panel called, and I say we because Bobby's going to be on this as well, a panel called Getting the Word Out, Introducing Your Show to an Ever-Evolving Internet. And, you know, since we've been doing OLR for 15 years, we've seen Skype come and rise up. We've seen Twitter come. We've seen MySpace come and go. We've seen, you know, Facebook rise up. So, you know, you kind of have to adjust to new social networks as they come up. Twitch would be another big one, you know, and kind of cater the promotion to your show and kind of stay ahead of the curve on this stuff.
Are you saying that GeoCities page is no longer good to get the word out?
It's probably as effective as continuing to use Windows XP to do your show. Anyway, I will be joined on that panel by, of course, Bobby, our friend Charles McFall from the Pokemon Go podcast, Dennis Lee Robinson, and Justin Robert Young, who you guys know him from Night Attack, if you ever heard that show. So very honored to be on a panel with him and all those guys. Broadcasting and New Media will be the other panel I'm on Saturday at 4 o'clock. That is going to be a discussion where I'm going to be joined by Jay Patrick, who's a radio broadcast vet of 20 years. He's actually a program director for iHeartRadio, so that'll be really cool. Been a program director for iHeartRadio, Cumulus Media, and Saga Communications. And so we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the on-air presence, choosing your equipment, and talent best practices. I have no idea what business I have being on this panel.
We use the very sophisticated Windows XP.
I know, I'm like, wait a minute.
Classic, but it
might
works.
I might be showing my qualification. I guess, but I did do college radio, and I've done, you know, Twitch and all that other stuff, so I guess I have some insight on that part. But I definitely am going to be in the shadow of these speakers also on this panel, including Chris Gore, as well as Jay Patrick and Charles McFall. That'll be fun. And then one more panel for you guys, the very last panel, actually Monday at 2:30, the Ask a Podcaster Anything, the panel to end all panels. It's basically the "We are done with the weekend" AMA type of panel. And so that'll be fun. So that is going to be the very last panel Monday at 2:30 p.m. Of course, I'll be popping into other stuff throughout the event. But all of those panels at the Hilton Galleria 6, that's a brand new room. It used to be 2 years ago where the board gaming was before they moved it to America Mart. That whole basement is now more ballrooms, basically. So that is where the podcast track is moved to.
Are you going to have a ballroom blitz?
I hope so. Well, we have new neighbors this year. Our old neighbors were the Skeptics track and the EFF track, which were both awesome tracks. Like, they're awesome. But I am really excited about our new neighbors, too, because our new neighbors, I believe, are moving over from the Sheraton. So our new neighbors is the Trek track. So that's going to be fun. So I'm excited about that. And this is another chance for me to say Grandpa from the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, who I've been begging to come to Dragon Con for like 4 years. Now I'm going to be like, "And our neighbors are the fucking Trek track, and you're still not fucking here. Get with the program, Captain Matt." Anyway.
By the way, I did look it up, and Tiffany will be.
Yes.
And you won't be here.
I know.
And our queen this year is Peppermint.
Yes, I heard that Peppermint was going to be there.
And Wendy Ho.
I know you love Peppermint was one of your faves from season 9.
I love Peppermint.
So that's great. You'll have fun.
And Frenchie Davis.
Oh my God, her. Was she the one that was like kicked off Idol and then she went on The Voice or something like that?
Something like that.
That's funny. I'm great that she still gets that coin from doing events like this. That's cool. What was I going to say about Dragon Con and all that? Also important to plug, the Discord. So if you're not going to Dragon Con, I'm sad, but I realize some of y'all have travel restrictions and stuff. So you might want to check out our Discord channel, which is vognetwork.com/Discord. We're going to have a temporary channel for Dragon Con. We'll put some pictures. We'll put some videos. If you guys want to try to find us at the convention, that's the best way to like chat us and find us. And we'll post reminders of our upcoming panels and all that stuff in Discord. I kind of envision that as a way for everybody on the ground at Discord to be able to connect with each other. Because, you know, Dragon Con can be a very kind of fluid moving event, especially because I'm hearing they're expecting more rain this year, I think, than we've had in years past. And I think that's because of the remnants of Hurricane Harvey going on right now, which while I'm thinking about that, please allow me to express, if any of our fam from OLR and you know our listeners and you folks you care about are in the path of that, you know, hurricane Corpus Christi and Houston and all those cities there, we're really thinking of you guys right now. I'm just it's horrible watching all that stuff on the news and some of those photos that are coming out and so forth. And I would definitely encourage folks to do more than just, you know, send a thoughtful tweet and so forth. I will try to do this as well. If you can, donate.
But not to something. The Red Cross.
Just investigate in times like these when people's lives are on the line, I want to donate to organizations that I know are there helping and on the front line. But just investigate the charity that you want to do and, you know, donate appropriately and just make sure that, you know, you can do what you can to help. So I just I feel really horrible for everything that's going on in Texas right now. Having flashbacks to the mid-90s when flooding was happening in my neighborhood, and that was no fun to go through at all. So it wasn't even nearly as bad as what's going on in Texas. I can't even imagine. So my thoughts are definitely with you guys. All right. Let's move on to some gaming news, shall we? Let's get back to video games. Loki.
Yeah, so I guess this is Half-Life 3 confirmed, or at least what it would have been, sort of. Mark Laidlaw, who you may remember, recently left Valve. He put out kind of a storyline or like a piece of writing on his blog, actually. He's changed some of the names to protect the innocent. But he does have a post on there that's basically a letter from Gordon Freeman writing to Alex Vance and talking about the events that happened after Half-Life 2 Episode 2. Of course, recently he's had to kind of change some of those. So now, of course, you know, Gordon Freeman is now Gertie Fremont and Alex Vance is Alex Vaunt and stuff like that. G-Man is Mrs. X. But, I mean, you can kind of draw the similarities there. So, if you want to check it out, it's at marklaidlaw.com/epistle-3. I'm sure if you just go to the main site, you probably find it. And, of course, you know, everybody's kind of like, oh, my God, you know, now we can kind of see what would have happened. And since I have no context whatsoever with Half-Life having, sadly, not played the first or second game, even though I do own them. They sit in the vault of unplayed games in my Steam library. I wouldn't even be able to tell you about what the hell this is. So, but I'm sure the people that do play Half-Life are probably pretty excited about this and disappointed at the same time.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's excitement because well, it's kind of that disappointment of this game may never happen. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
But I also kind of got the sense that it may not actually be the plot of a Half-Life 3. Like, it may be like a rejected plot type of thing. Like, this was one idea I had written down, and it's not what we went with. I mean, if you consider how long this game has been in development, if it's been in development, let's just pretend it has been. If you consider how long this game has been in development, it's fully possible that the story they were originally going with isn't going to match the story they were going to end with. Hello, Final Fantasy 15. Right? So, I mean, it's very possible things changed and maybe this was some, like, old story that isn't happening anymore. So, who knows?
Maybe.
Anyway, I do just want to acknowledge over in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, some people saying that your mic is going in and out. Great. Just what we need now.
Awesome.
Just
yeah.
Another thing breaking down. That's just another mic I'll have to buy. And no, that's the same one you've always had. So just make sure your thumb isn't hitting that power, because that power switch is really sensitive on that. And this,
not touching the power
you may
switch.
Have to kind of make sure this bottom portion is kind of, I know it's stupid, but we'll just, why not?
Only the best quality microphones for our podcast.
Why not? I got to replace computer.
But these mics are, what, 6 years old?
It's whenever Brad from it is probably that old, because Brad from Pod Culture sent these over when we were in the apartment studio. So it's at least 4 years, because we've been in this house for 3 years. So about 4 years probably. So it's probably time. It's probably time. But
I'll just replace my own mic when it starts going out. So don't worry. Uh-huh. I still think I have my Behringer mic.
Great.
So I'll bring it back.
Well, we'll figure that out. But unfortunately, since it is live, I can't be like, stop the show. Let's replace it. It'll just Loki will kind of fend through best he can there. And I'll just add that to the list. Things broken in the studio.
Whatever.
Why not? While I'm about to go on a panel about how to be your most professional when you're doing your voices on the radio. All right. Well, moving on. So let's talk about Gamescom a little bit. And Microsoft really kind of had a lot of the news out of Gamescom because, of course, they're pushing the Xbox One X. And the Xbox One X, of course, is on its way out in November. And there was some talk about here is how to transfer your data from the Xbox One to the Xbox One X. Because that it is anticipated that there are, you know, hardcore Microsoft fans out there who want to take their Xbox Ones and basically upgrade to an Xbox One X. So they'll be taking their data and transferring it over. Why not? I did the same thing with PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro, which I regret doing. But you know, some folks may have better luck when it comes to Microsoft and the Xbox One. So anyway, there's several ways to do it. You can back up your user settings on an external drive, and then you can take the external drive over to the Xbox One X. You can also patch games and then transfer them using an external drive, same way, you know, that again. But you can also transfer data over the home network. And that was what you could do with PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro. Just plan on, at least on the PlayStation, it took a few hours to do that. Yeah. So if you're going to do that with the Microsoft Xbox, be sure that you put ample time aside for that process to happen. But that'll probably be the easiest way to do it for most people, is to just use the magic of your home network to transfer that information over. I know that, you know, we didn't talk a lot about it in the intro to the show tonight, but I know that those pre-orders went up as well.
Yeah.
And they went pretty fast. But most people aren't complaining about
that.
Well,
we talked about that last week because that was kind of part of their little presentation.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It had come up right after Sunday. I guess I was just seeing more of the social media and stuff kind of followed it. Yeah, the Project Scorpio. I know we got into that a little bit last week.
But see, that's the thing, though. With the Xbox One X, though, like, I'm confident that we'll see those in stores. Like, because Microsoft has a track record, as well as Sony, that those systems will be there and they'll be available. Whereas I don't trust Nintendo for shit for that.
Well, and no shade, but the truth, I think, is that there's more interest in the SNES Classic than there is the Xbox One X, at least right now.
Well,
we'll see when the numbers come out.
If that's the case, then take that as a fucking hint. I mean, because you're just literally leaving money on the table if you're not going to produce enough systems. And I mean, you're just throwing money away.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange on the Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase ICE.
I know Nintendo could live in a world where the Super Nintendo outsells the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One.
Exactly. Like, why build the hype on, oh, the system can't be bought. Oh,
I don't want to regress.
No, hold on. I have a positive here, okay? It's like, why build the hype on, you know, the system can't be bought and stuff? Build the hype on, we sold this many million units. That's the hype you build on. Look how fucking strong a brand is. Super Nintendo system. We fucking outsold the Xbox One this month or something like that. That's the hype you build that shit on. Not this, oh, we don't sell enough and we're not producing enough. Oh, it's the ports and the seas and the blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Anyway, well, what about this, though, with the whole Xbox One X? It appears that Microsoft has stopped making the Xbox One completely already. They're gone.
But they're still making them, though.
You know, they are no longer. They took down the listing from the Microsoft store and all that. I mean, there's still ample supply on shelves and things, but they are not making more Xbox Ones.
Well, probably the original Xbox One, because they have the Xbox One S, so that's what they're using.
Okay.
The old fat fucking VCR of a system. Yes, that's not being made anymore. But the Xbox One S, which is a nice looking system, that's probably being made, which makes sense.
There you go. So the original, an ACTF confirms the original model, the VCR. Okay, so you just can't get the original model anymore, but you can get the Xbox One S.
There's no reason you'd want the old one anyways, because the new one's better.
Right. New ones play the HD Blu-rays and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, it has, but doesn't it have the HDR stuff to that?
Yeah.
So yeah.
They added a lot in that PlayStation 4 Pro is touting, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, you know, I here's the thing. I kind of feel burned by my upgrade to the Pro that I'm not really sold on the Xbox One X, but I am sold on making my PC powerful enough to play a lot of those Xbox One X games. Mm-hmm. So did Microsoft really lose me? I don't think they did. It's just that I'm choosing to do it on PC instead. At least for now. I mean, who knows? That may change. I may change my mind.
Well, I mean, honestly, you know, 4K gaming and stuff's still very early. So,
yes.
I mean, there's still time for all that.
Yeah, I mean when Forza Horizon 4 is announced, in lovely 4K, because you know it'll happen. It's going to happen. And it'll probably be next year's game.
I want to get a 4K TV. I've been wanting one for a while, and they've come down in price quite a bit. I'm just waiting for the right
moment. Just worried the day I finally buy a 4K TV, you know what's going to happen. You know,
8K TV.
8K is the big new
thing.
Honestly,
though, like, it's... They're probably not going to do that because it's...
Sure.
It's bandwidth. I mean, and the content's just not out there right now for that. I wouldn't be worried.
Dark Tetsuya says, I heard 8K was already a thing in Japan. This is why I don't trust it. It's just the reality. All right, and there it is. Akuma JP in chat confirms. Actually, 8K is already here in Japan.
But let's be honest. So, looking at 4K and 8K, are you really going to notice that much of a difference? I mean, really, is it going to be like...
That's what they say every
time. Is it
going to
be at that point, like, the pixels are so fucking small that they're indistinguishable anyways?
I would fucking bet. Dark Tetsuya, you know this show better than I do. If I went back to a certain episode, would I be able to find an episode where Loki says, you can't tell the difference between 4K and HD TV?
I've never said that. Why would I say that?
I feel like you it's the same thing. Like as the technology.
Why would
better.
I say that? Because that's so stupid. That would be. That's. I mean, let's put it this way. Like, it's not a huge difference. Like, depending on the size of the screen that you have and how far away you're sitting. But like, once you get to that resolution, doubling it again, you're not going to notice that the return on investment is not quite there. It's like. From the jump from VHS to DVD was pretty big. The jump from DVD to HD wasn't as big. And the jump from HD to 4K isn't as great either. 4K to 8K, I don't think it's going to be very noticeable. And what advantage... I think at that point, you're just going to be pushing... I would imagine keep 4K and push a higher frame rate. Because you can do a lot more fancy shit with that nice resolution.
That's true. I'm more impressed with
instead
this.
Instead of just like pushing... Because eventually, it's just... You know, when are we going to stop with resolution? I mean, really, at some point, you're going to exceed the amount that, you know, traditional film can even, like, the resolution of film. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that anymore.
I mean, I remember the first time I saw, it wasn't just HDTV, but it was HD on a TV with a high refresh rate and that whole higher frames a second. I was like, this is unreal. Like, this looks crazy.
You should check out, there is a video that I saw Lightness Tech Tips did. They built it was like 16K rig, but they used like giant 4K monitors, and the thing was like fucking huge because it was 16 monitors huge.
Oh my God.
And they played, you know, a few games on it, but I mean, that's the kind of thing, like, imagine shrinking that down to the size of a, you know, like a regular TV. You're not, from like sitting across the room, you're not going to notice the difference. Your eyes can't see that kind of detail.
All right, Dark Tetsuya, put that in the episode summary so we can come back to this in 4 years when 8K is all the rage. And Loki says, I never said that.
Well, when our infrastructure for the internet gets better to where we can stream that shit like no problem, and the technology's out there and the content's out there, then sure, I'm on board with it. But like,
this is one of those things I want to put on a USB stick and then put in the time capsule and put don't open until 2020. Little presents to myself. All right, anyway.
Hey,
all right.
We've got the capsule.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe that's something at the end of the year.
So
I'll have Dark Tetsuya pick some OLR
clips. Like, I can't remember. Did we do that right at New Year's, or is that like, you know, some mid-time during the year? When did we do that time capsule?
I think before the summer, but we're opening it at the end of the year. Anyway, we need to move on. We're running
long.
Dark
Saga. Yes, we do. So, one of my favorite RPGs is Secret of Mana, Seiken Densetsu 2, as it was in Japan. And as we know, that there was a Seiken Densetsu collection that was released in Japan that had all three of them, which the first one we got is Final Fantasy Adventure. The second one we had is Secret of Mana, and then Seiken Densetsu 3. So Seiken Densetsu 2 is being released as Secret of Mana here in the US, for PlayStation and Steam. And the pre-order's already up. I've got it on my wish list, just it's going to go in the budget, and I don't know what system we're getting it on. But it's really pretty. It's really well updated. The music has been remastered. And it looks like with the voiceovers on there, you may be able to choose which language you listen to it in, which would be great. So... well, the pre-order that I found on Steam was like $40, which really isn't terrible. Of course, the big edition that came out in Japan, though, came with like little figurines. And if you get the pre-order or a day of purchase, then you get like special tiger outfits for your characters.
Oh, yeah. Like, wasn't there like little Moogle outfits, too? And,
you get like a
Moogle things,
outfit
yeah.
and a tiger outfit.
Tiger now.
You shall refer to me as Mr. Tiger.
Do they have tiger's blood?
But no, that was a real pleasant surprise to see. But here's my question. Which second Densetsu was Secret of Evermore? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Dark Sakura took me seriously for a minute, and she's like, you just broke my brain. I'm teasing. But I did like Secret of Evermore. I think that game is shit on unnecessarily. Like, there are qualities about that game that I do like. But yes, that game is not part of the second Densetsu series. It was a Square USA game.
For some reason,
game.
It's making me think that I need to actually start playing through Terranigma.
Oh, now that's Enix's like Soul Blazer trilogy,
Illusion
right?
of Gaia we got over here. Terranigma came out in Europe.
Was Brainlord part of that, too?
I don't remember. I have to look it up.
Can we get a new Tobal game?
But when we get a new Busta Groove.
No, bust a move.
Or Urgeites. Can we get the US new Urgeites? Because Urgeites is new.
See, Rob, that's not true because you knew me.
But before you, Jamie. Yes, there was a day before you.
No, but you knew me when the first Bust a Move came out. Because you played it at my house.
Not when it came out.
On that big Toshiba TV that we had back then.
It first came out because my first game, before I played DDR, I played Bust a in the U.S. Groove,
I felt too. For certain that you knew me.
That was the game that enabled me to get into DDR.
Oh.
I know, right?
You remember, though, the ones who introduced me to that game, though, was Chris Tang and his girlfriend at the time.
Huh.
So.
Interesting. I'm looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Tetsuya says,
I also remember he kicked Dan's ass at Street Fighter.
Dark Tetsuya confirms Brainlord was Enix. Yeah, it was. I know it was Enix, but was it part of the same developers that did Illusion of Gaia and that whole, because all those games are very similar.
I'm kind of wishing I could find a PAL cart of Terranigma.
Yeah, right?
It would just be nice to have, but I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been trying to make some time to go back and play some of the stuff that I missed, and that was on my list for sure, but I don't know if I more want to play Seiken Densetsu 3. I mean, this is great, and it's going to be released in January. It'll be fine when it comes out, but part of me wants to sit and have like somebody there and play through Seiken Densetsu 3 again.
January, maybe Japanese release. Here it's February 15th, I think.
Steam said January when I looked at it. Oh, hold on.
I thought they announced the release date is February 15th.
Hold on,
weird.
Let me reopen my Steam again, and I will get the date off of Steam.
No worries.
Because I put it on my wish list there.
But as far as like Secret of Mana goes and the remake, I was really jazzed when they announced it because it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I think, you know, people didn't think that we were ever going to go back and revisit this series at this point. You know, what did we get? We got Legend of Mana, and I feel like there was one more game in the series.
Okay, never mind. It's February 15th, 2008.
Woo-woo!
18.
My memory serves me good for something. But yeah, I mean, I think people weren't expecting that, oh, we're going to get like the Secret of Mana remake. And it kind of looks like, to me, it looks...
How the fuck is this like Danganronpa 2, Steam?
Steam is weird.
You like this because you like Danganronpa 2. It's nothing like fucking Danganronpa.
Well, they're both from Japan.
There's no murder mystery in Secret of Mana.
That you're aware of. In the new one.
Maybe in the new one. Those tiger suits came from somewhere.
Tiger murders.
But anyway, it looks to me a lot like the Final Fantasy IV kind of redo, or 3, I guess, was really the first one. They did Final Fantasy 3, and then they did 4. Secret of Mana kind of looks like it's in that same style.
I think that it fits, though, its original art style, to be honest.
Yeah, it fits.
The way that the characters were designed, they don't look too different in their 3D models.
Yeah. I'm also pleasantly surprised that, you know, they're not telling us about this years in advance, like the, you know, Final Fantasy VII remake. They're telling us this, and it's like, and it's out in less than 6 months. And that's a nice surprise, you know. Again, things might get delayed, but I kind of feel like this one's probably been far enough along, they've been working on it long enough where, you know, it's going to be ready to go, and they're going to make the release date. So I think that's really exciting. Now, one other thing I do want to bring up, because I've seen a lot of talk about it on Twitter, but a lot of people saying, why aren't you putting it on the Switch? why is the Switch getting skipped for this? Because this would be a fantastic game to play on your TV and take on the go. I don't disagree with that notion. I would love to be able to play this game on the Switch. I kind of feel like because this game has probably been secretly in development for years, I mean, it's probably been secretly in development for a couple years at least, I think Nintendo was probably still viewed as too risky. And I think probably when this game was first developed, you know, the Wii U is probably what was out, and they didn't want to develop for that. So they moved on and decided to go, you know, with PlayStation 4, which was probably like the bigger deal at the time. So,
yeah. I mean, it's hard to decide to develop for another system, especially when you don't know how it's going to, you know, end up doing.
Right.
In that early. And I mean, who knows when they were alerted to the Switch being in development. So
exactly. So I'm not going to give them too much shit about skipping the Switch, but I hope it's something that might be visited in the future. Well, and to be fair, the Switch did end up getting that Secret of Mana collection, at least in Japan. And the Switch is region free for what it's worth. So maybe that's kind of a consolation prize. I don't know. But I mean, the Switch does have that and other platforms don't have it. So I'm not going to be like, oh, Square is a bunch of Nintendo haters. I can kind of see the logic and why the Switch got skipped.
Quite the opposite, actually. They put a lot of shit like exclusive on the Nintendo platforms.
But if they decide to do a similar remake for Second Densetsu 3... or even Secret of Evermore, LOL, they won't. But Second Densetsu 3, you know, even if they decide to go back and like remake that as well, then maybe they'll consider the Switch at that point or something.
Maybe.
So we'll see what happens. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Some more stories, right, Loki?
Yeah. So there's this game called Darkwood that is been out, I guess, on PC for a while now. And they decided that, you know, to get the... to actually allow more people to play it, they're going to pirate the game. They're basically, they uploaded it to Pirate Bay. They said there's no catch, no added pirate hats for the characters. They just uploaded it for free so that it will help, I guess, people check it out that may not have been able to afford the game in the first place. So Darkwood, I guess, they released that originally in 2014, and now it's just kind of out there. I'm surprised, though, with it being out for so long, though, that, you know, people wouldn't have been able to play it cheaply by then. I mean, put some keys out there in, like, one of those bundle sites or something for, like, a buck or something. You can't afford a dollar. I mean, I don't know. But it, neat press either way. It gives them exposure. And it, saying that they're the ones doing it in the first place, I guess that's, you know, can't really fault them for that.
You know, I think there was an angle to this too where they were trying to combat against some of those third party key sellers, you know, that's been
like G2A. Of course, you know, they were selling a lot of keys, or they would, you know, grabbing a lot of the free keys that they would send out. And they said this practice makes it impossible for us to do any giveaways or send keys to people who actually don't have the money to play Darkwood, because you know, they said they would just turn around and resell them and says, please don't buy it through any of the key really selling sites. By doing that, you're just feeding the cancer that is leeching off this industry. Like we said with the scalpers earlier, I mean, same type of thing. Don't give these people money because they're making the situation worse. So,
well, very interesting move to kind of, it kind of sounds like the nuclear option is to go put it on Pirate Bay.
I mean, honestly, it's been out for three or four years. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this was the intention, but I bet a lot of gaming shows probably weren't talking about this game in 2017, and now they all are this week. So it is some interesting press for the game.
Yeah, it's good, and especially if I've seen, you know, what was it? There was some other games that they had people had put out for free on Steam, even, you know, changed the price to free for a short period of time because they have a new game coming out. So it's a good way to kind of drive that press saying, oh, hey, there's a game that's coming out for free, you can check it out, and, you know, they're also, this company's releasing a new game soon, you know, type of thing. So it's not a bad idea, especially if that the game's probably run its course for the most part,
right,
after 3 years.
Right. All right, well, moving on, video game consoles, they don't just play video games. They have a lot of other apps and things that they do as well. In fact, on the Xbox One, you can use Twitter on the Xbox One, which I must confess, I don't think I've ever done. Or maybe I used it that one time to write that tweet that says, hi, I'm on my Xbox One.
And on the
One.
Vita.
Yeah, hi, I'm on my Vita, and then that's it. Like, you never use it again, right? Well, interesting, because there was an update that they made to Twitter on Xbox One that may be worth revisiting, depending on what you're into, because it does a focus now for Twitter on live 360-degree video. You know, and a lot of platforms are kind of, you know, you see this more on Facebook with the 360-degree videos and all this stuff. So now Twitter is kind of looking to, you know, put the video content on Xbox One as opposed to just your Twitter stream. So I think that's kind of interesting. Apple TV was already kind of doing this. So this is kind of one of those, they now put it on Xbox One to kind of mimic what was going on the Apple TV platform.
You know, it's too bad. The Xbox 360 would have been a perfect name for a VR headset for the Xbox system.
Right?
Which I wouldn't doubt that they could do that someday, being that this is the Xbox One and all naming conventions are just been, you know, any rules regarding that just been thrown out the door anyway.
True. That's very true. But anyway, you can also do two video streams side by side. I don't know how the audio would work in that. I guess you can select one or the other, or maybe you do just listen to both. Who knows? Also, Periscopes, since Twitter does own Periscope, Periscopes are included in this. You can actually browse a global map and look at Periscopes from around the world. So I'm sure during that boxing thing last night, people could look at pirate streams of that fight from around the world. I don't follow that stuff at all, but it's all I saw on Twitter last night. And all I would see on Facebook are people asking for pirate streams. And one of my friends was actually doing like a broadcast and I guess got a strike or whatever they do on Facebook. I didn't even know Facebook monitored that stuff, but Facebook Live banned her from broadcasting for like 3 days because she was broadcasting that event last night, which, you know, people pay hundreds of dollars to see. So, and wasn't it over really fast too?
No, it went like nine rounds. Yeah.
All the reactions I saw on Twitter were that it was kind of ridiculous, but I barely follow
an MMA fighter versus, you know, it like basically two, like, I don't know if they were undefeated, but you know, a undefeated boxer versus like an undefeated MMA fighter or something like that. I could be completely wrong because I don't follow any sports.
I'm already bored.
But all, yeah, right. It was supposed to be them fighting each other, like, to see which is better, but they're doing boxing now. If it's MMA, that would be interesting, but I don't know. I should have done both.
And something just to say, in terms of physicality, an MMA fighter can't last in a boxing match, and vice versa.
Here's what would have been interesting to me. Why not put them outside their element altogether? That would have been interesting.
No,
might know them as these famous boxing and fighters, but can they do curling?
Go-karts.
Laser
tag.
That I would fucking pay to see. That is some straight up like ABC Sunday night specials, Olympics of the Stars or whatever they fucking call that shit.
Gymnastics.
Dancing with the Stars. Perfect. It would be something like that.
This Olympics got weird.
ACDEF suggests make them play Puyo Puyo Tetris against each other.
The event shall be decided by voting with a live studio. You know, they'll have live votes for people to submit events that they would participate in.
Yes. Let America vote, because the cute young guy will always win. Did American Idol teach you nothing? It doesn't matter that Adam Lambert was the better singer. The other guy was the cute young guy, and he won. Although, you know, Adam Lambert is no slouch himself, but, you know, still. Anyway. From Twitter to American Idol, there we are.
Or couldn't they like team up to beat up some other bad people? Like, we can throw other people in the ring and they can just beat on them. I'd watch that.
Wait, just random people?
Like bad people, you know, like throw in like
Nazis.
No, not necessarily. Well, you can throw in Nazis, that'd be fine too. But like, you know, just annoying people. Like, I'm sure there's annoying like people that we would just like see. They should have a website where you vote for people with the most punchable faces and invite those people in.
You just want Celebrity Deathmatch to be a real show.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
MTV Celebrity Deathmatch.
I'm totally fine with that being a real show. Yes.
Dark Soccer, are you able to see your brain? I just see your eyes rolling over there. All right, why don't you depress the hell out of us with our next story?
This is actually, I kind of don't know how to feel about it. This is somebody actually that Dan's met before. Said it was a really nice guy, so just goes to show you can't always trust everyone you meet. And I'm going to lead up to it. This guy is named John Trudeau. He is a pinball designer. He's designed some very amazing classic pinball, like Creature from the Black Lagoon and Black Rose, which is actually one of my favorite tables, the new Ghostbusters table, Judge Dredd. Quite a few really, Bride of Pinbot's another one. So these are all like really good pinball tables that everyone knows, right? Well, he just got busted for kiddie porn. Apparently, police search led to him, and they seized his computer and found his equipment contained child pornography. We don't know if he was actually like producing it or just had it, but even having it is bad enough. I mean, so he's currently being held on bond now.
There's no nice way to spin this story.
There's just not. And it just goes to show that like what's on the outside surface, what people are like on the outside, doesn't necessarily mean that they are 100% right in the head, you know, because if anyone listening to the show is into child porn, stop. All of it. Go get yourself some fucking mental health. That's it. But 69 years old, too. His career is over.
Mm-hmm.
And deservedly so, because people like that really shouldn't have a career.
So this is a really slippery slope, and there's a part of me that's just like, just move on to the next story. But I have to ask this question. Does it ruin the games that he created?
I don't think so.
Because more people had a hand in those things than just him.
I'll put it this way. If you were looking at the origins of everything ruining the later things, we wouldn't have Volkswagens anymore.
I see what you mean. There's criminals everywhere, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
I do think that the value of his tables is going to go up because there's not going to be any more. You know they won't.
That's weird to think about,
it is,
though. I don't like that.
Because you know they're not going to reprint any or recommission any of his tables.
I don't know about that. Why would they do that? Just because the designer or something was involved in that?
That's true. Most people aren't going to know. It doesn't have that same visibility that films do. You know what I mean?
But people who bother with pinball are going to know the names of the designers. Mm. People will know who Lawler is. They'll know who... I know him personally, and I can't think of his name suddenly. You know, Steve Ritchie. They'll know who these people are. They'll know who the table designers are. They'll know who the artists behind the tables are. You know, just today, Dan and I were talking about Christian Marsh, who did like a bunch of pinballs in the 60s and 70s, including the one we own, Spanish Eyes. He was also a cubist painter during the mid-century. If you're a fan of it, you're going to know what this is. And just when you kind of find it happening under your nose or in your backyard, as it were, it suddenly becomes like this big betrayal. And it really is, you know, a person who we trust to be a sane individual who doesn't go around looking at children being abused in compromising situations. It's a big shock, yeah. You know.
Tiger Claw in chat says, I never understood why these people are into that. It boggles the mind. Well, you know what? That's good.
It's because it's a mental illness.
Yeah. And not to, you know, we got to be careful when we talk about mental illness because there's a big spectrum of them. And, you know, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Illness takes all forms.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and in this case, it's definitely.
I'm just saying it's for the best. You don't understand.
Well, yeah.
So.
But
anyway.
Still, it's really disgusting, and I hope that he gets the counseling and everything that he needs to get over such a sickening addiction. But at the same time, it's just...
I think we need to move on to another story.
I might have just thrown up in my mouth.
Let's go to another story. Let's talk about another video game, Loki.
Yes, Final Fantasy XV was suddenly announced for Windows. So they're going to be releasing that out on PC sometime in early 2018. was revealed from a trailer from NVIDIA that basically showed off the GTX 1080 Ti kind of footage that they have captured there, different NVIDIA tech, like the hair tech and stuff like that. So it's going to support up to 4K resolution textures, Dolby Atmos, they said a realistic turf, advanced hair simulation, combustible fluid, fire and smoke simulations, advanced shadows, high-quality ambient inclusion, and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, it looks pretty cool. I guess it, you know, I guess the game could get better looking. But on top of that, they're going to have mod support. That's right, mod support for Final Fantasy 15. That's pretty awesome. And then, also Final Fantasy 15, if you're not even getting it on PC or you have it on console, they're getting this weird crossover DLC from Assassin's Creed. So it's this Assassin's Festival DLC that they're going to have like a cross tie-in with Assassin's Creed Origins. And I guess starting August 30th, players will be able to obtain a dream egg from a Moogle Chocobo Carnival event. And they'll be gifted the assassin outfit for Noctis. And then I guess following day on the 31st, they're going to have some other DLC that's going to transform one of the towns in the games with all the banners and festivals and stuff like that. It almost sounds like the shit that they do for like Final Fantasy 14 or something like that, or 11, where they just kind of do these like holiday events. It's kind of weird.
It is a little weird how they kind of like treat it like, yeah, like Final Fantasy 14 in a way, where they do like online events like you would expect to see in an MMO. But, you know, I remember the Moogle Chocobo Carnival or something. And that was, it was like a side, it was an extra menu option that you would load up. And yeah, you get items that could go back in your regular save files. It was a little weird, but it worked. So it was kind of cool. Yeah. Anyway, since you brought up mods and the PC, you know the first thing that people are going to do with this game, and I don't care if it's dudes or it's chicks or whatever, there's going to be nude mods.
Oh,
it's going to be the first thing that's made. So the big question, and there's a hilarious picture floating around Twitter right now of like the Final Fantasy 15 cast in very little clothing in like what is going to be a scene from the PC version, basically, when the mods come out. Well, of course, you know, they were actually asked about it. Hajime Tabata was asked in an interview about the whole, you know, well, what are you going to do about nude mods type of thing? And obviously there's some worry about, we've made this great world and people might try to stuff all kind of strange things into it and mess it up. When we were getting together for discussion, all the people together in the project were airing out their worries. Nude mods were something people were particularly worried about. What's stronger in my mind is the fact that I don't want to limit people too much. It's a thing they've bought. It's their game now. As far as the nude mods go, I don't think it's a good thing, but we're going to leave it to the moral sense of the players out there.
Well, they're going to definitely disappoint you. Definitely.
Prepare for a letdown. But you know what? I look forward to Final Fantasy 15's release on PC.
It's going
to
be awesome.
That is all I have to say.
4K dick mods.
That's right. 4K. Oh, my God. This is good. Like, finally, gay pornography is becoming like a mainstream video game. Like, something that not even Dream Daddy could accomplish, Final Fantasy 15 on PC is going to accomplish. And you know what? Even, you know, if you're not into dudes yourself, be happy for me, at least. Okay?
I fully support this. I can't wait to see.
There are some lady, like, unfortunately, one of Final Fantasy 15's problems is that the ladies aren't really, you know, they're hardly there. But there are some strong,
I'm sure Sydney
female,
will be completely tastefully handled.
Of course, tastefully.
I fully
Dark Sakura's waving.
I fully
her finger.
Expect to see, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage and, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine make their appearances on the platform.
For folks that could do without the nude mods, there will always be the over the fucking top shit.
We can mod the summons. Please hope the guy that we can mod the summons, because that's going to be
Dark Sakura,
amazing.
Will you describe the motion that you were making with your hand just now?
The jerking off motion.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'll be doing to Final Fantasy 15 on PC. Thank you for filling in with the visual.
The other motion was the whoop-dee shit motion. Whatever.
Anyway.
Whatever. If it's on a non-locked device, people are going to figure out how to put butts in it. butts and dick.
Yeah.
Even if it was locked down, they would find a way to put butts in.
Even if they have to have a butt sitting on it.
Butts will find a way. We should have a little chime that play butts.
I think it's a butt now. It really seems to be big and round.
Somehow, somewhere, butts will find a way. All right. I was trying to find the more you know, the little...
I like SJ one under Matt. You know, you must be new here. Let me introduce you to Rule 34.
Anyway. No, even all this jokes about nude mods and stuff aside, you know, I still think Final Fantasy 15 is kind of somewhere in the middle of the pack for the series for me. I think a lot of it was rushed, you know, with some of my issues with that. They cut a lot of corners. Yes, a game that was in development for as many years as it was rushed because the real development didn't happen until the last 2 years. Well,
that's the other thing, too, is hopefully with this, one of the things that you get with even like Skyrim and stuff is people fixing the game. So,
yeah, that's I kind of look forward to a lot of that. I think I probably will double dip on this game on PC. I think I really will.
Yeah, probably will, too.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully I have the appropriate video card at that time.
Hopefully
that I can
it's optimized.
It.
And hopefully I don't think it was one of our stories, but hopefully it's not 170 gigabytes to download this shit.
Well, but if it's 4K textures, that would...
That's unexcusable. That's fucking too much. Like,
dude,
give me
Final Fantasy 13 on PC is 60.
Okay, fine. That's fine. Give me the option then to download it optionally because I don't have a... I'm not running 4K. I don't want to download 160 gigabytes worth of shit I'm not using.
Have like a 4K pack that you download.
Like have like, okay. Say, what resolution are you planning to run this shit at, you know? Download accordingly.
And Dark Tetsuya in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I think they came out and said that was a typo or otherwise incorrect.
Well, they just said that we haven't determined the size yet, which means where did
bigger.
That information come from? So, yeah.
I'm just, guys, 4K Final Fantasy game, it's, remember, Final Fantasy 13, which doesn't even support 4K, 60 gigs on PC.
Yeah.
So when I saw that 180 gig number, I was like, okay, that makes sense. But, I mean, this is why a lot of hard drives are like 3 and 4 terabytes now. And they're even, you know, the standard size drive in a console now is pretty much up to one. Well, unless you're Nintendo, but that's a whole other story. But now it's up to 1 terabyte, right? What does the Xbox One X come with?
500 gigs or
that's
terabyte.
That's it?
Or 1 terabyte.
Oh, it's one or the other?
A lot of the newer ones have terabyte.
Yeah, a lot of them are terabyte. Like my Xbox One brick, I have the VHS kind, is 1 terabyte. I mean, because I didn't buy the very first one. I don't remember when I bought my Xbox One. It was right around Horizon 3 or something. I don't know. But I bought like a little later down the line, and they had 1 terabyte model out. I think Best Buy was running some deal where you bought an Xbox One and you got a game free, and it was Forza Horizon that I bought. So maybe it was 2, not 3, actually. My memory ain't doing so well this day and age. Anyway. But now that's why like 1 terabyte is starting to become the standard. So anyway. Let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? We're gonna go back to a simpler time when there was no fucking 4K. these consoles couldn't even hold probably 3 megabytes, let alone 180 gigabytes.
4K was more like, you know, the download bitrate that you would get with this stuff.
Yes, perfect. It's the classic game of the week, but once a month, Dark Sakura dips into the archive of consoles and picks a classic console of the month.
I'm switching it up in this bitch.
Is this really a classic, though?
Well, it could be a classic in the same way like a turd is.
Sometimes we feature classic games because they were notable for other reasons, and I think this console is no different.
A turd.
That's right. So, Dark Sakura, what is the
classic? It's a post-taco turd.
10 years older or more, what is the classic console of the month?
The Nokia N-Gage. Speaking of taco turds. The nickname Taco Phone made it into the wiki. That's how prevalent the name was. So because I could find no good music for it, in the background we'll be listening to the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Why?
Because. Reasons.
All right. It's your segment.
Anyway. The N-Gage was a PDA that was both cell phone and a handheld game device.
I thought you were about to say a ham sandwich.
Ew. Ham is gross. It was announced on the 4th of November 2002 and released October 7th, 2003. And yes, Dan and I both had one. It was terrible.
That means the N-Gage is old enough to be in high school.
It probably failed kindergarten several times. It's going to be that 10-year-old that's in... not 10-year-old. It's going to be like the 13-year-old that's in first grade. Eating crayons. Anyway, the N-Gage, its intent was to... Because it had the mobile phone functionality added to it, it was supposed to try to get a one-up over the Game Boy Advance. And it kind of is almost the same shape, but it's smaller screen. But it was a full-color screen. Backlit as well, if I recall correctly. It was re-imaged as the N-Gage QD in 2004 to redesign it. That was supposed to fix like a bunch of the design problems, but it only sold like 2 million units in 2 years. It was pretty much a big commercial failure. It was discontinued in 2005, and Nokia moved the gaming aspect of it to their Series 60 smartphones, which was then called the N-Gage Platform or N-Gage 2.0 in 2007. So N-Gage in itself was rebranded into a service. But pretty much it was... meant that you could play on it instead of using cables, you would use Bluetooth or the internet for the N-Gage Arena service to play online. It had MP3 and real audio video playback, and of course it had PDA functions, you know, like the Palm Pilots back in the day. It was $300 when it came out, so it wasn't very popular for price. And it was outsold by the Game Boy Advance 100-1. Just think about that right now. And then basically places like GameStop and Electronics Boutique started giving like $100 rebates back on the price. But it was also, you know, like I said, it was also a cell phone. It did not have an integrated camera. It was running the Symbian OS 6.1. And it wasn't really bad for what it was as a PDA. However, like, the games were a pain in the ass to get in them. And I remember that, Rob, did you go to that E3 when they had the whole N-Gage section?
I did.
And I brought out my N-Gage.
Yep.
And the person there's like, oh my God, you have one.
He was so excited.
No one over there, okay? I felt so sorry for the poor Nokia rep. It did have a couple of good games that came out on it, like Pocket Kingdom, Own the World, got some good reviews. Pathway to Glory was a self-published game, and it came out pretty well. But most of the games just were not very good. You had to like pull out like a little plastic sleeve to be able to change the games in and out, and it just wasn't very good. It didn't sell great. The games didn't look all that great. It just wasn't super good. I mean, so since then, like, the games that came out on it were kind of, you know, there were some big titles. I mean, we had Super Monkey Ball. We had Puyo Pop. We had Puzzle Bobble Versus, Rayman 3. Sega Rally came out in Australia and Brazil. There was a Sonic game. Wasn't very good. Bomberman, the Asphalt series, Ashen, Catan, Civ 2, Rob. I know you like your Civ.
It was really not good on that system. No, I played it at that E3 and I was depressed.
Pandemonium came out. The two X-Men Legends game came out. Virtual Cop was created but never released. It was Tomb Raider, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which I had that one. The Sims busting out. I mean, it had games that could have been really good, but it just didn't happen. You know, it was at best ambitious, and at worst, what it actually was. It was just, and on top of that, too, with the shape of the phone, you know, it was called the taco phone for a reason, but it was really hard to talk and hear on it. You know, the design just was really poorly executed, at least for that first model. So
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at this shade in our chat room from our pal Bobby Blackwolf. The N-Gage booth was a great place to chill when you got claustrophobic.
That's pretty much why I think we went there. But it was just nice seeing that momentary glow when I pulled out my N-Gage. It's like, oh my god, a human who bought one. Like, well, technically.
It was free, but okay.
Okay. And I had to keep switching out my SIM between the N-Gage and my, what did I have at the time, an Ericsson?
So here's the thing I've got to bring up, though. So it's much shit as we gave the N-Gage at the time for being a cell phone and a gaming platform and not really doing either one of them particularly well. This thing was out, what, 3 years before the very first iPhone? And then, of course, Androids around the same time, which, like, now you think about gaming and mobile, and that's, like, the way a lot of people game exclusively. So it's kind of, you know, you almost want to say, ooh, is the N-Gage ahead of its time in that way?
No.
But then you think about that horrible design. And one place where Apple really, you know, got them was that the design of that original iPhone was pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah. To their credit, at least they had one. Buttons.
I had one right when they came out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at that time, my cell phone that I was using regularly was a Sony Ericsson that had that stupid little camera attachment. I had two Sony Ericssons because I liked them so much. Remember my little attachments?
Yeah, I remember that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just trying to put it in the perspective of what else was out at the time. It was before the Razr. So, there you go.
There it is. All right. Your classic console of the month.
Classic turd of the month.
Classic console of the month. The N-Gage.
You're the one who put it on my list.
Did I?
You did.
Oh, yeah, because we were brainstorming, brainstorming back in January.
And then you did.
I think I joked.
N-Gage.
Because I was like, oh, it's over 10 years old.
I'm like,
you do that.
Watch me fucking do it. It'll get done.
Watch me, ho.
It'll be dead. It's already been gotten.
All right, we are going to take a break, though, but don't go anywhere. There is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come. So stay tuned when we come back with Part B right after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 698 of our show, already in progress. Our last show, really, for the month, because we won't be here next week, because, again, Dragon Con is going on next weekend, which actually, technically, I think is September anyway. But my point is, we're not here next week, so this show is going to have to do ya for 2 weeks, and we'll be back with 699 the day before Loki's birthday on September 10th.
You know what we're missing, too?
What's that?
On the 1st. What happened on the 1st, 12 years ago?
You and Dan getting married, right?
Yes.
See, God, it's hard enough to remember anniversaries. You want me to remember yours?
Right.
On top of everything.
Because mine's important. But also, I was thinking about it, and it's next January.
Uh-huh.
I will have been living in California for 20 years.
Wow.
Not half of my life yet, you know, at that point, but still kind of crazy to think about it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Anyway, I do want to, of course, give a shout out to our Discord, because you can join our Discord server at vognetwork.com/Discord. And you guys submit stories throughout the week, which is awesome. And, you know, some of them you're probably already hearing on tonight's show. But another thing I want to bring up, because this was something that had a lot of people's attention earlier this week on Monday. There were a lot of people that had eclipse fever going on.
Oh,
and were watching
that this week, yes.
Yeah, that was Monday. It feels like a lifetime ago with everything that's gone on in the world since then. But something that was actually submitted in Discord was that there was a Reddit user out there who photographed the eclipse with a Game Boy camera. That's right, digging out their Game Boy camera to record the occasion. And they actually have this little print that they did of the eclipse that they printed from their Game Boy camera, which I think is hilarious.
Aww.
So there it is. The photographer who took that picture says, I should still be shooting Game Boy camera photos in 2024. So, you know, there's still love. It looks like a dragon's eye is what that picture looks like there. That whole little,
So
it's a radio show, so describing pictures is the best thing. But
how long before we get the Game Boy Classic Mini?
You know, that seems like a more logical next step than the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, the new 3DSs don't really play the classic Game Boy games anymore. Well, they were on Virtual Console. A very limited selection was. So
what's a Virtual Console?
Though. Yeah, right, right, exactly. But shoot, just get if Nintendo can still have the license to do it, you would need to have Nintendo's version of Tetris for that to really be successful. Even though they did a, I mean, to be fair, they did a far better version of Tetris later on. They did it on the, was it the regular DS? I think it was. They had a, like, Tetris DS, I think was the game. And it was great. If you never check that one out, that was probably, that was a way better version of Tetris. Because, you know, the original Tetris on Game Boy was limited to the whole black and white. And it was very, you know, it was rudimentary. But obviously at that time, it was a totally time-sucking game at that time. But I think they really improved the formula in Tetris DS. Nintendo did make really, really, really good Tetris games for what it's worth. But I was going to ask quickly, the Eclipse, did any of you guys bother to watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah? I really, oh yeah,
but not like the idiot in Washington looking directly, oh,
directly at it.
What a fucking dumb shit.
I honestly, since I was busy teaching, I only got to see, I walked out to the parking lot and a bunch of people were looking at it. And this one guy had a big strip of glass, special glass or whatever. So he was just passing it around and everybody would just take a second to like look through the strip at the sun. Yeah. So that's what I did. I looked through the strip at the sun for like half a second. I'm like, neat. Next person.
I took some pictures through my glasses, but they didn't come out quite right. But what happened is the lens flare was crescent shaped.
Yeah.
In my pictures.
Yeah.
And so that was really neat. So I've put those around. I think I've got like some on my whatever that thing with the pictures, Instagram.
I didn't bother taking pictures because I knew everybody else in the fucking world would be taking pictures.
And then NASA did better pictures than everyone, of course.
It's why I don't take pictures at concerts anymore. Why bother taking pictures at concerts? Well, I might take a selfie before it starts or something, but I don't bother taking pictures at concerts anymore because I can go onto YouTube 3 hours after it's over and relive the whole thing. So why bother? That's my attitude anyway. Maybe I'm just old. Loki, did you bother with the eclipse at all?
We just looked out, you know, at it. You know, I had a thing, an app on my, or a page on my phone that told me, like, when the, you know, the, was the climax of it was. And so I went right out there and looked at it.
Like at 10:30 or whenever it was.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see how cold it got. It was kind of neat, you know, in that sense.
Yeah. I did like how it was, like, darker outside during it. And obviously, we weren't even in, we were 60% totality?
I thought
we
it was like 80 or something. It was pretty good.
But we weren't in the totality zone, but
no,
still, it definitely got darker.
Like, yeah, Bobby, you know, had a pretty good time with that.
Oh, yeah. I saw those pictures. Looked like they had a good time out there. So
that would have been, yeah, I would love to be in a total eclipse area, but unfortunately, it's, you know.
Well, you'll get your chance in 2024, was it? Was it 2024?
I think we're going to have to travel, though,
yes,
for that.
Yes, you'd have to travel for that. You'd have to go to, I think it's like the southeast part of Texas on up through, like, you know, Michigan.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't remember.
I'm just not going to do that.
Fine. All right. Thank you. Bobby Blackwolf says Texas to Indiana is what it is. It's 2024. So there would be some traveling involved. Anyway, it's an excuse for me to go back to Chicago. Indiana's right next to Chicago. Take a little road trip. I bet some of my Chicago buddies would want to go see the totality eclipse. It would be fun. All right. Anyhow, enough science talk, even though you can never really have enough science talk. Let's get to some rapid fire news. Loki.
So, you may remember all these wonderful VR titles that were announced during the whole, you know, Bethesda E3 event that they streamed online. Well, so we've got first off Skyrim VR for the PlayStation VR coming out November 17th, Doom VFR on the PlayStation VR and the HTC Vive on December 1st, and finally Fallout 4 VR on the Vive on December 12th. And that was coming out of QuakeCon 2017, those dates. I am looking forward to Skyrim VR. I will buy that game a million times, apparently.
Yes, it's your Mass Effect. It's fine. Everybody's got their thing.
It's a time sink. What can I say?
Yeah. Fine. Everybody's got their thing.
And then, so this is kind of cool. A new character got announced for Injustice 2, and probably one of my favorite characters out of the whole DC Comics realm, which was Hellboy, is going to be coming to Injustice. I don't think they've announced a date yet for that. Let's see here. Oh, September 12th. And it's going to be available, I guess, when Fighter Pack 2 goes on sale.
Nice.
And so with that, it looks like Raiden's in there, and I'm not sure who the other character is. The Atom. So the
I still need to check out Injustice 2.
Yeah.
They make it. NetherRealm makes good fighting games. I mean, the Mortal Kombat games, the first Injustice was good. So I need to check it out. I just, you know, it's one of those things. I'll get around to it one of these days if I can tear myself away from the MMOs.
Oh, I'm sorry. He is
playing.
Dark Horse. That's right. He wasn't DC.
Yeah.
But whatever. Who cares? Hellboy's awesome.
All right. Moving on. Horizon Zero Dawn got a new patch this week where they patched in a mode to make the game more accessible to our pal Bobby Blackwolf. That's right. An easy mode was put into the game. And if you don't know the long-running inside joke, it's that when... what was it? Borderlands 2 came
out. Technomancer was the class.
Yes, they made a big faux pas when they were talking about BFF mode, and one of the devs kind of put their foot in their mouth. And Bobby had the devs on his show at one point a long time ago, and he coined the new phrase Black Wolf Friends Forever mode. So now we joke, because Bobby Black Wolf is fine. He's not going to take offense if we, at least I don't think he does. If he does gonna take offense, he needs to let me know so I stop making the joke. But if we can always say that the easy modes are always for Bobby Black Wolf. So we don't have to say that they're for a certain gender or for a certain thing. We say the easy mode's for Bobby Blackwolf. So Horizon Zero Dawn, and Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I love the joke and all the easy modes for me. So there you go. So if you need to point that an easy mode was put in a game for somebody, you say it's for Bobby Blackwolf. So Horizon Zero Dawn got its Bobby Blackwolf mode this week, this new story difficulty will boost damage and reduce enemy damage considerably. So I think it's a way that you can kind of play through the game and experience the story without having to worry about, like, actually dying. Which, you know what, a lot of story-based games kind of do this now. And, you know, like Mass Effect, you know, the easy mode in Mass Effect is pretty fucking easy. Especially if you play, like, in 2 and 3, if you play an engineer, your little AI will do it all for you. You really don't have to do a damn thing. So, but you know, and for some people, that takes the thrill out of the game. But guess what? You get choice. That's the great part about it. You get choice. If you want to just have the AI do it for you, fine. If not, you can have that challenge. So there you go. Bobby Blackwolf mode now available in Horizon Zero Dawn. Also, this is really cool. Rocket League, of course, is bound for the Switch, which may be a game I end up double-dipping on. Who knows? Some sweet cars are going to be in this. Super Mario and Metroid-themed battle cars are coming to the game. Oh, which reminds me. So I pre-ordered the Nintendo 3DS new XL with Samus on it. I like how you're shaking your head, like the whole, like... We knew we were going to lose you to that. Yep. We knew that was going to happen.
This is why they get away with what they do.
It really is. It really is.
You guys, you're just like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to buy that because I'm going to put my foot down. What? It's Metroid themed? they changed the outside to look like Metroid? All right. I'm going in.
Read me, drag me. I deserve it. I deserve it. So that's, but yes, I pre-ordered one because I want, but I also want to reward when they fucking recognize Metroid, which is a nice change of pace for the company. So there you go. Anyway, Mario NSR, Luigi NSR, and Samus's gunship will be free and unlockable in the game at launch. But what's interesting about it, now, if I remember right, the Switch, the Xbox, and the PC will all be cross-play because Sony is, you know, pouting in the corner. They you know, that whole thing. So, but the other systems are all cross-play. So what happens if I have the Mario car and I'm on Microsoft's platform? Does Microsoft allow that skin to come through? Or will the skin, since it is just a skin, will it just not load and just be like a red car or something? I wonder if... I'm curious about how that will work. But at the same time, I mean, it's not like Microsoft doesn't fucking know who Mario is and is, you know, I don't think they're really going to care. There's a part of me that says they're not going to care if Mario is on their console.
No.
They're actually going to be excited, like, ooh, Mario's on Xbox.
I don't think they would care.
Yeah, I don't think
so
either.
Who would care? Nintendo.
Maybe.
Nintendo cares about its customers and it cares about its IP.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on. Dark Soccer, you have some stories for us, right?
Everything I care about is Dragon Ball right now. So just one of they're putting in a lot of the attacks that were prevalent in the anime and manga into Dragon Ball FighterZ. But the big one, and this is actually kind of notable, is that they put in Because one of the new characters that they announced is in the current beta is Jūrokugō, number 16. And he's got a self-destruct attack that basically leaves him with like one sliver of life, but it's almost an insta-kill. It's actually pretty neat to watch it. The animation is fully perfect with the series. But with that, the other playables right now that they've added in for the current beta is they have Krillin, Piccolo, Future Trunks is available. Juhachigo, and actually Junanago is like an assist for her, and Jūrokugō. So and guess what, the beta signups are open. I may have signed up under every email that I have because I went in a lot. But yeah, you can go on the Bandai Namco page and sign up, so do it. But the session is going to be September 16th through September 18th. Go play. Go do. And then let me in.
That's how I feel about the Dissidia.
Let the right one in.
That's how I feel about the Final Fantasy Dissidia beta. Like, I was like, when did, like, all my friends started tweeting, oh, I got in the beta. And I was like, when did the fucking signups happen for that beta? But it was during the weeks that I was away from things that we referenced a couple weeks ago. And so I guess I just missed that whole thing. So I tried to apply for a beta code late, but I didn't get one. But some of my friends are saying it wasn't very good. So I'm a little, this concerns me type of thing. So yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I still want to try to play it myself. But yeah. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to some release dates for this week and travel around the world and check out what's coming out in stores. How about the U.S. Coming up on this Labor Day weekend? Do we have anything right before Labor Day?
Yeah, we actually do have quite a busy week. So starting things off, we have Absolver on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Ark Survival Evolved on PC, Mac, and Linux, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. I'm assuming coming out of Early Access on the PC platforms. Everybody's Golf on PlayStation 4. Hello Neighbor on PC and Xbox One. Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle on Nintendo Switch. Abduction on PlayStation 4. Pillars of Eternity Complete Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Recore Definitive Edition on PC and Xbox One. Redout on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Sonic Mania on PC. Warriors All-Stars on PlayStation 4 and PC. Windjammers on PlayStation 4 and Vita. And Yakuza Kiwami on PlayStation 4, X-Morph Defense on PC and PlayStation 4, EVE 7 on PC, Life is Strange Before the Storm Episode 1 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, Resident Evil Revelations on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and finally Xenia on PC. Quite a bit.
That's a really busy week. And
yep, it's getting in the fourth quarter
already.
I was
going to say, believe it or not, here we go. We're going to start. September will be a little quiet, but then once we start to get into October. No, really. September's going to be pretty noisy.
September's pretty packed.
Yeah. Wow. And then that's.
Well, I mean, the first week in September is not too bad, I guess.
Yeah, but then, I mean, October is going to start to bring what Mario Odyssey is October.
The first true week in September, you only have like Destiny 2. So, I mean,
well, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to just start to ramp up through the end of the year. So, here we go.
Hold on
to your butts. All right. How about Japan? It's not as busy of a week in Japan, but still pretty busy week. Looks like their big release this week on the PlayStation 4. They have a game called Yoru no Nai Kuni to Shingetsu no Hayayome. That is in a regular and a premium box. I'm not sure what this game is. I don't know much about it, but I do see the cover is two girls that are like, you know, look like they're like vampire hunters or something to me on the cover. But they have a whole little talk about Lushe has been resurrected by the Kyria as an artificial half-demon. According to the researchers, Liliana had already disappeared when they found her and said to likely be in the abandoned city. In order to recover the stolen Liliana, the resurrected Lushe heads for the abandoned city, taking along the demon power she does not desire within her. So it's, you know, girls being possessed by demons. It's one of those types of games. So you can check that out on the PlayStation 4. That is a Tecmo game, or not Tecmo, Koei Tecmo, I think may have done that. Let's see, more games that are out this week in Japan. New Mina no Golf, so the you know, everybody's golf series in Japan, gets its release there. Ease Origins is out. I'm sorry, that is an Asia region release, but still worth noting. And also in Japan, Biohazard Revelations Unveiled Edition is out this week. So that is all on the PlayStation 4. The PlayStation Vita also gets that Yoru no Nai Kuni 2, as well as a game called Crank In. In regular and limited edition, that is out on the PlayStation Vita this week. And on the Switch this week, that same Yoru no Nai Kuni 2 is also on the Switch. So you can get that. Or you can get some Mario Kart 8 Joy-Cons in Mario and Luigi. I think those are just... Oh, it's the wheels. It's not the actual Joy-Cons. It's just the silly little steering wheels. For those that need them. Although, I don't know people that actually play with those anymore. Hey, the 3DS hasn't slowed down on releases. They still are getting a couple releases this week. Seikaiju to Fuiji no Dungeon 2 is one game that's coming out this week, as well as a game called Tante Jinjuji Saburo Ghost of the Dusk is also out in Japan this week. So, quite a few releases there as well. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Oh, just a few things. We have on the 29th, Absolver for PlayStation 4 and PC, Fishing Planet for PC, Killing Floor 2 for the Xboxy stuff, Windjammers for PS4 and Vita and all of the Sony things, XCOM 2 War of the Chosen for PlayStation 4, Xbone, and PC. On the 30th, we have Sunless Skies for Mac and PC. And that's it.
All right. Thank you for that trip around the world, and hopefully there's some games that you're excited to play this week. Well, every week we open up our mailbag for you guys to send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to do it. And Dark Sakura is going to dive into the mailbag and pick out the emails that she thinks are worthy of reading on the show tonight. Dark Sakura, who emailed us?
First email. Hello, Sky, Dark Sakura, and Loki. Martin the Belgian here. That's like his title now, Martin the Belgian.
That's right.
I wanted to comment on your story last week about online memberships on consoles. I have to agree with Loki's rant. Paying for online on consoles is really just a cash grab. Sure, servers cost money, but they do on PC as well, where paying for online play is unheard of. I'm letting my PS Plus membership expire because I plan on because I play all my online games on PC. The only reason I'm keeping my PS4 is to play the PS4 exclusives, mostly single player. The free PS Plus games are just not worth the monthly cost. On a brighter note, I will be attending Dragon Con this year. Since I live in Atlanta and my friends are going, I don't really have an excuse not to. I will be attending Saturday through Monday, and I am very much looking forward to some of the panels that Rob will be on Saturday afternoon in the podcast track. Besides that, there are usually some interesting video game panels as well. I remember you mentioning that there would be a way for VOG Network peoples to keep in touch with each other during Dragon Con, but I could not find it on the website. Would it be through Discord?
Keep- it is. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Yes, it is through Discord. Just go to VOGNetwork.com/Discord. You can find the link on the main VOG Network site. It's in the menu under Participate, I think, is where it's located. Most people I've just been telling you to just go to VOGNetwork.com/Discord, and you'll get the invite code right there. But yeah, Participate, it's also under that menu heading on the website. Dark Sakura brought a gigantic fan with her to the studio.
Because it gets hot
amazing.
In here.
Sorry.
We do have a fan that's right there that's not plugged in.
I know. I'll go turn on the AC fan because I notice it's not running right now.
My arm works.
While Dark Sakura finishes this email.
Keep up the great show as always and see you at Dragon Con, Rob. All the best, Martin.
It'll be great to meet you at Dragon Con. I'm excited. That's great. I'll have one fan in the audience. Woohoo. That'll be nice.
I'll have one fan in my hand.
Woohoo.
Okay, moving on. Hello, Alar. I wanted to address the musings from last week's episode regarding Xbox Live and why it costs money. As someone who has implemented Xbox Live features into his own games, I can tell you that doing so is ridiculously simple. Adding matchmaking and setting up online play is as simple as just a few lines of code. Adding support for leaderboards and achievements is similarly easy. And the icing on the cake is that you don't need to run a server ever. Instead, Microsoft runs huge server farms that handle all of the matchmaking, as well as other network features, for each and every game that supports Xbox Live, from the 2005 Xbox 360 launch games all the way through this week's new releases. Nobody pays for online play on PC, because nobody provides those kinds of services on PC. What matchmaking in your PC game? You have to set it up yourself. You either have to pay for a service or set up and run your own using your own servers. That is complex. It's expensive. And if your game doesn't find an audience right out of the gate, it's a money pit. At the time Microsoft put together the first version of Xbox Live, online play was not yet popular on game consoles. Bullshit. I had my Dreamcast Ethernet adapter, and I wanted to use it, and they said no. We played a lot of Quake. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Xbox wasn't the first, but they did make it. Xbox was centralized, I think, is the key difference. It was a console-wide type of thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm trying to see where I was. Microsoft was looking for a reason to convince developers to add it to all of their games. This was the reason they didn't need to pay for it, and the amount of effort required was as low as possible. Microsoft instead chose to pass those costs on to gamers who had actually utilized the service. As a direct result of the strategy, online play is now a standard feature in our console games today, and it continues to be so. Does this still need to cost money in 2017? And does it still have to cost as much as it does? I can't answer those questions. And yes, companies would be foolish to pass on money from customers who are willing to pay for something. But that is why it's not free. And even though some Play Anywhere games will sport these features on PC with no extra charge, please remember that many, many, many more gamers will be playing these games on Xbox, which will easily subsidize the comparably few gamers playing them on super beefy PCs. Anyway, there it is. And one other thing, Chemical Plant Zone is the best zone in Zonic 2. Lies. See, I speak the truth. Best music, best ambience, great speed, plus you even get those sweet helix-shaped ramps. Fuck that underwater part at the end if you take too long, and fuck that bridge of death that can kill you without any warning right before the boss, but everything else about it is great. Yes, truth. Court is closed, Aaron YYR. And the things that you named are precisely why I hate the level, because it's not enough to redeem the great parts of it.
Like the helix ramps, which are pretty cool.
The helix ramps are great. But I like the spinny ones in the first level.
I do want to thank YYR for that perspective and that email. I do still think that, you know, Microsoft could make some big moves by, you know, undercutting, you know, what PlayStation's charging, what Sony's charging, by possibly even going free. But, you know, I think it is interesting the things you bring up on the whole fact that it's easier, let's say, to put in your game on Xbox Live because of the way Xbox Live is set up than it is on PC. But here's my crazy question, and I don't know if you know this, Loki, but then why would it be that EA, I mean, if Xbox is kind of running all that, then why is it that EA pulls support for their games notoriously early and then you can't play them online anymore? I mean, it's because EA runs their own server thing and everything like that, but yet you still need Xbox Live to play on EA servers, right?
Well, and they do have matchmaking servers through Xbox Live and stuff. But I mean, it here's the problem, though. It's like, it's this... It's also, like, a perfect example would be the brand new Shadow of War game. I watched a video this morning regarding that. So, Shadow of War is a game that's coming out that a lot of people were looking forward to, that they decided that we're adding microtransactions and loot boxes into the single-player portion of the game. And you have to buy in-game, you have to buy currency to do that. And it's not just cosmetics, it's actual things that you, like orcs that you can get in the game, that you unlock through this as well. And then now they also have a sponsorship deal that they're doing with Totino's Pizza Rolls. That they're making they're making money from that. So they're making money from... And to be honest, the game that you're buying is not a full game because they have a season pass that's going to be along with it. So you're not... You're paying money for the season pass. You're paying money for the in-game transactions. They're getting money from this marketing deal with Totino's Pizza Rolls.
And you're not even getting Pizza Rolls.
And all this shit for their game, because they're saying, oh, well, our game is, we just can't be profitable without that stuff. Same
Welp,
thing. how did Sony do it all these years with all? How did these companies do it all this time on the PlayStation 3 without charging for online? Were they operating at a loss? Why even put your games on that platform then? I think it's an excuse because they're making money from all sorts of shit that they're doing now that we just take for granted because this is just the world that we live in now. And that's the problem. It's like, yes, I get it. Servers cost money. So does development for your game. So does marketing. Should I pay you extra money because you're marketing your game? Should I pay you extra money because you wanted some better artists for your game? That's not fucking fair. Charge more for your game then. Why should I have to pay for online?
The nickel and diming is getting a little extreme. Regardless, I appreciate the perspective from YYR, even if I feel like it explains 80% of it to me, and there's still some nebula in there. And I do feel at the end of the day, Microsoft could subsidize that cost through other means. But you know, even when I pitched the idea on the show last week that Microsoft could really shake things up, I'm not expecting they're ever going to do it. I don't think it's a realistic thing I'm proposing, but I'm just saying they would turn some fucking heads if they did it.
You know how they subsidize some stuff with that? You notice that
pizza rolls.
Speaking of pizza rolls, you notice that in your little wonderful OS there's fucking advertisements. They're making money from those advertisements to subsidize that shit. And yet the price of the online keeps going up. Yeah. So don't. They don't need to be defended. They are a big company. They can handle this shit. I don't understand why we have to pay for online still. We're making excuses for these publishers. Fuck that. Fuck making excuses for them. They are big fucking companies that do not need to be defended. Demand your fucking rights. We didn't pay for online before. Why should we have to start paying for it now?
All right. On that note, let's go to the next email. We have another email, right?
We do.
All right. Awesome.
Evening, OLR. Hope all is well. I just wanted to vent about the Xbox One X Scorpio and SNES Classic Edition. Simply put, both pre-order situations were just a clusterfuck. Well, the Xbox One X, not so much. After the Xbox Games Rooms conference ended, I was successfully able to secure a Scorpio pre-order. Now, you can't seem to find one anymore. The pre-order window only lasted for a day, and all allocations were scooped up like Haagen-Dazs. Nice plug. And quick search on eBay shows the Xbox One X selling from $650 to $2,000. Damn. The SNES Classic was just a crapshoot. With Best Buy and Amazon pre-orders starting in the middle of the night, many people found themselves shit out of luck. I didn't receive my Amazon notifications that it was available, but somehow, thanks to Wario64, my son waking me up at 4 o'clock Eastern in the morning, I secured one for myself. I just couldn't believe it myself. The situation was worse than the NES Classic. Another eBay search shows that the system is selling between $250 to $300+. Who is to blame? Is it Nintendo for always limiting stock? Is it the retailers that decided to sell the product in the dead of night? Is it in fucking scalpers who buy a lot of the product and leaves the average customer without any options? I'd say it's all of them. It seems Nintendo isn't giving a shit anymore about what's going on while their customers are trying to figure out how to do it next week. Cue Reggie Fils-Aimé shrugging his shoulders. That deserves an FU's of the week slot. Well, we already had that out, so no. Oh, this part's to me. Let's talk fighting games. Dragon Ball FighterZ is looking better and better. I hope you signed up to get into the beta. Fuck yes, I tried. I need this game now. NAO now. I just learned of the newer characters that's in it. Android 16, Android 18 with 17. I'm just going to say Super Saiyan Blue. Goku and Vegeta, Krillin and Piccolo. And if it's in this series, it was called like Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan. It's repetitive, so I'll just say Super Saiyan Blue. Anyway, for example, if Android 18 does her level 3 super and is on the same team with Krillin, they both attack together. Krillin isn't on the team, then she does her super with Android 17 instead. Can't wait. Been watching more Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite gameplay and I'm pretty excited for it now. I wasn't due to the demo feeling super underwhelming. Now it's looking insane. Lastly, whenever you get a chance, I highly recommend the Daigo the Beast Umehara Fighting Gamers manga. I was able to get a post-Evo copy from Focus Attack, but it won't be available until November. The manga chronicles his early years playing fighting games, and I didn't know he... And I think we're missing a verb here, so I'm just going to read it as is. I didn't know he Vampire Savior using Jetta and Bishamon. Dude, Jetta's the best, though. Hopefully you three are doing well. I truly enjoy listening to you guys and can't thank you enough for providing me your thoughts and opinions with regards to today's state of video gaming. Take care and happy gaming. This is from Tristan.
Be careful with the fan. The noise is coming through.
Okay.
On the mics.
AKA Needle Crash. Well, they're just hearing my sass. That's my sass.
Thwarp.
Thwoop.
Thank you for that lovely comment at the end of the email. Even though I can't follow the Dragon Ball stuff the way Jamie does, I just, no disrespect, I just don't know the universe as well. But
you're not going to hear from me again when it's out.
Well, let me put it this way. Even though I don't follow the universe as well, even I looked at that fighting game trailer and I was like, oh, that looks pretty sweet. Like, so who knows? Maybe this could be the gateway or what have you. And I think you succinctly sum up the Super Nintendo situation. Even though I don't want to necessarily rehash that whole thing, I think you succinctly sum that up.
So. Tiger Claw in chat says, Dark Sakura wants to play this Dragon Ball FighterZ game so bad. Maybe if she's really good at it, get in those fighting game tournaments and show them what a badass you are, Dragon Ball FighterZ. That's not going to happen. That's not gonna happen.
That's just not something that interests you, right?
Well, besides that, I can't play games like I used to because of the problems with my wrist and my hand.
Oh, right.
Playing for a prolonged period of time just makes it hurt. That's why right now I've been trying to fan myself with the left hand instead of the right. Because that and the shade of it all.
That's a good kind of like side question. Let's assume any type of physical disabilities or anything you want to say like that. Let's assume any type of like physical limitations weren't on the table. What game do you think you would want to try to play competitively? Like, for example, on, I ran a show for a brief period called Pokestop Podcast with Shane. Mm-hmm. And Shane talked about that he was interested in getting into competitive Pokemon play. I don't think he really followed through on that this time. I think that might still be on his agenda, but that's a question for him. Is there a game that you would be interested in playing competitively?
Nope.
If you kind of had that time?
No.
No, really?
The last game I tried to play competitively was Bust a Move 2.
Really?
At Anime Expo. I like played for like a fucking hour beating everybody.
Yeah.
And then I just goofed or something. No, it was the controller that I had a stuck button on it. They changed the button after I lost, but whatever. Or changed the controller out.
Well, for me, I did DDR for that hot minute competitively. Remember that one random ass tournament in the Bay Area? It was at like a high five or something. I came in fourth in Perfect Attack.
Yeah.
And people were like, who's this guy? That was kind of unexpected, I think, at that point. So
remember Stomp to My Beat?
Yeah, that was one of the huge tournaments where we did that.
It was
where we tried to do Perfect Attack. You and I tried to compete in Perfect Attack.
And the glare on the screen
was...
But it was the glare
on the screen we weren't prepared for because the machine was outside in the sun. And it's just like, we weren't prepared for it. And
was
it
that
just
the one
fucked us up.
Ate at the break or whatever?
No, it was
back east.
That was Milpitas
Golfland. I don't think we knew you yet. We didn't really start to know you until OLR started. And this was before OLR. Or was it before OLR?
No, we did SCAT.
Yeah, no, when was Miggle? Was Miggle 2 before OLR? I think it was.
I think Miggle 2 was, yeah.
It was before because it was OLR. That was the very first time I ever met Mel B's now wife.
Yeah.
And we clicked like that, and they came on like the sixth episode of OLR. So I met them before OLR started. So yeah, Miggle 2 is before all that.
Yeah.
But anyway, wow, memories.
Yes.
Down memory lane. But what game would I compete in competitively if I could now? God, I wish I was better at Overwatch. I'm not good at first-person shooters.
Overwatch makes me vomit.
The characters are so well done, though.
Makes me motion sick.
Did you see that May comic, though?
No, but it still makes me motion sick. But that doesn't... The fun parts about the fandom have nothing to do with the fact that the game makes me fucking nauseous.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe the universe will spawn a side game someday that won't be the same type of game. That would be kind of cool.
Maybe. It'll be worth playing.
Like Warcraft spawned World of Warcraft. You never know. There might be something that comes out of that. Loki, what would you play competitively if you could?
I don't know. I'd probably play something like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds or something like that. I don't really know.
Actually, you know what? For me, I might almost say I would get back into DDR if I could.
Yeah, DDR, I guess. Yeah,
I think, because I keep forgetting. there is still, like, there's been a big renaissance in that whole scene because of Round Ones, because of Dave and Buster's, and now that there's Ace, and there's these games that, you know, maybe we don't follow that scene as closely as we used to in the early days of the show, but, like, it's still going, and there are still tournaments and stuff, and people, like, doing, and I think it would be hilarious if some damn near 40-year-old dude got up there on stage and, you know, could once again get fourth place in Perfect Attack. Now, I don't have the stamina that I used to, but, you know, you never know. Someday. So... You're never too old. That's my point. You're never too old. All right. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, SSJ100 Matt says, I'm sad nobody has said playing Uniracers competitively.
I don't think there's a competitive scene for that.
Let's see.
We'll speedrun all the games.
ActDev says, I'd play Splatoon 2 competitively. And Active says, I could also play Tetris. Oh, that's a very good one. SSG100 Matt says, I remember Rob was at the DDR tournament at 8 on the break. That was 12 plus years ago. Yes, that is true. That is very true. All right. Let's move on. Was that it for emails tonight? All right. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in the future. In the meantime, we're going to get through the last of our stories tonight. And I'm going to apologize, you guys, as I mentioned earlier in the show, because of kind of the hot mess going on. I don't have Skype on. Well, I'll try one more time. Maybe it was temporary. So let me try one more time, see if I can connect to Skype. Nope. Peter's still being a bitch. So
Peter says no.
What?
Peter says no.
So unfortunately, I'm not going to have a Skype line tonight. But what I will do towards the end of the show, we'll do an open Q&A. We'll do an AMA in the chat. Or Ask Orange Lounge, if you will. But now the hip new term for it is AMA. So we're going to do an AMA in the chat room.
Nope. It's Ask Orange Lounge. We're classic.
Fine. We'll do an AOL. You have to make the dial-up sounds. Hello. You've got questions. Sorry. So we're going to do an AOL segment at the end of the show instead of Skype line, because Skype line is busted. But hold off on those questions. We'll get to it in just a minute. We got some more stories first, though. Loki.
Yes. Who says that Comcast is not good for anything? But apparently, if you want to get into the Call of Duty World War II beta, you can do that through if you're an Xfinity customer. So you go to Xfinity.com/Call of Duty between August 31st. You put your account number in there, and they'll give you a code, or they'll send you a code. So I just did that today, and actually they're going to be sending me they're going to be sending me one. It's apparently on September, so it's September 1st. So I'll have to check it out. Even though I'm really interested in this game, but hey, free.
A free beta. Now you get the chance to test if maybe you'd like it or not, right?
Well, check it out, I guess.
There it is. All right. Well, you guys know I love my Final Fantasy 14, and there's a interesting team-up going on here.
Is it Totino's Pizza Rolls?
Close. Really fucking close. What's the closest thing in the world to pizza rolls? Actual fucking pizza. So Domino's and Square Enix have teamed up to create the Chocobo Chow Pizza.
Is it made of Michelle Greens?
No, it is made of chicken, pineapple, because yes to pineapple on pizza.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's order one right now. Pizza.
All right. You know what? That should be the next Splatfest.
Pineapple, no pineapple.
Pineapple on pizza or never on pizza. So anyway, so the Chocobo Chow includes, SSG100 Matt says, this conversation is over. Anyway, Chocobo Chow includes chicken, pineapple, capsaicin
is what makes peppers hot.
Oh, okay. Mushrooms.
So I wouldn't be able to eat it.
Onions and spring onions, which I think are just green onions, basically, yeah, or what on this pizza. So, this is unfortunately, it may be why there's ingredients in here I'm not as familiar with. This is a flavor exclusive to Australia and New Zealand. Womp, womp. But you can get a gaming bundle for $50 Australian, which is about $40 in U.S. dollars. It's three regular-sized pizzas, garlic bread, and a 1.25-liter soda, and that's going to be about $40, which for three pizzas, I guess, isn't bad. But you also get a code with that for Final Fantasy XIV Online, which you can redeem for PC or PlayStation 4. So there you go. But we all know Square is really making their money from that game from the monthly subscription. So it's a 30-day hit to get you hooked. And then from there. And I don't think the online complete edition includes Stormblood. I could be wrong, but I don't think... Oh, no, you get a code to redeem for a chance to win. Excuse me. So, yes, the complete edition then would include Stormblood. Oh, you get a chance. Well, I stand corrected. There you go. Anyway, there are other Domino's pizzas that have been rebranded, by the way. Moogle Meat Lovers. Not actually made from Moogle meat. It's actually, yeah, other meat. Curious Cactar. That's the veggie pizza. In case you're curious about vegetables. That's a Loki pizza.
I'm veg curious.
Stormblood Supreme and Heavensward Hawaiian.
I don't know if you should put blood in Supreme in your... Wait, I'd like wait, the blood wait. Supreme pizza.
Does that make you like pizza pie curious?
He's pie curious.
Pie curious.
I think... Jamie,
I'm not really curious about pies because I do eat pizza quite a bit. I had pizza last night, by the way. So
we need to have a frank conversation on this show about how everybody's a little bit pie curious. There are flavors of pie you've always wanted to try. Everybody's a little bit pie curious.
Ironically, I don't like regular pie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like
what,
pie.
What you mean, like,
what type
like,
of sweets do you like?
But there's like a million.
I really like a lot of sweets.
How can you say I don't like pie? Like, does that mean you don't like apple pie, cherry pie, lemon meringue pie, peanut butter pie, like pumpkin pie? There are 50,000.
Yes, all of the above.
I
do not like
peanut butter pie.
Are you saying you're not even a little pie curious?
I'm not pie curious in that sense, no. Not dessert pie curious.
Wow. I can't handle
not
it.
Even a cream pie.
Probably for the best. Stoppy in chat says, I'm bisexual. Ever seen the movie American Pie? Yes, I have. All right. Anyway, I did notice, though, that there was yet another Hawaiian flavor in the Final Fantasy. I think Yoshi P agrees that pineapple should go on pizza because that's two of those pizzas that have pineapples on. Do veggie pizzas have pineapple? Not usually. I don't think they usually put it. It's usually greens.
Would be a fruit pizza.
Oh, that's pineapple's a fruit, of course. So, yes. All right. Do they have fruit pizza? What other fruits go on pizzas?
Tomatoes.
That's right. Even though most people don't think of tomato as a fruit, but yeah.
That's really all they offer.
Avocado.
Is avocado a fruit?
Avocado is a fruit.
Do they even put that on pizza?
And I've had it on pizza before, yes.
You can, yeah.
Sounds like California.
It sounds like a California pizza kitchen thing.
They put avocado on everything. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. SSJ100 Matt is like, this needs to stop. I feel like SSJ100 Matt is to pineapple on pizza as Rob Roberts is to mayonnaise on anything.
My wife would sure like this to stop so we can get home and watch Game of Thrones.
Oh,
already.
Jesus Christ. Fine. We'll go on to the next story.
Because she can't keep herself off social media.
You know what? I've just been watching everything on YouTube just now, and oh my God, I called it.
Even how can you call a show that you don't watch?
I do. I've been watching this season.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't watch the show.
But I went back and watched everything about the characters I gave a shit about. And honestly enough, I've called everything to this episode.
I'm like
this whole season has been a complete non-surprise.
I feel like the one guy left who cares more about Twin Peaks, which has been like sitting through like 12 episodes of like what the fuck is going on, which is fine because that's David Lynch. That's you watch a David Lynch thing, there's always going to be a little bit of what the fuck is going on. And in the old Twin Peaks, Lost Highway, fucking any of his movies, there's always going to be a little bit of what the fuck is going on. But like the last two episodes have really started to say like, this is what's fucking going on. And it's been like, oh damn. So I fucking want to watch Twin Peaks. That's, and the, here's the crazy part. Sorry, Loki. The Twin Peaks finale is at Dragon Con, yet there's no official viewing on Sunday of the Twin Peaks finale. How did they miss an opportunity like that? I don't understand.
Licensing?
I guess maybe showing it in a room or something, but I guess they'll have to be unofficial viewings. But it's Sunday night, which if I remember right is the masquerade. The GLBT event is also Sunday night, which is weird. I seem to remember it was on Saturday night every other year. So it's like, I'll probably just have to download it and watch it on my phone on the plane home or something. But I'm really excited about that. All right. Anyway, let's get to some more stories. So after pizza, Dark Sakura.
Oh, God, I want pizza, though. Now I'm hungry. Even after all that delicious Korean food I had. So, speaking of things that are not delicious, it would be the way the EA was treating Mass Effect, except for one glorious nugget of pineapple on the pizza. Basically, Mass Effect isn't dead. EA executive vice president Patrick Soderlund said that the performance of Mass Effect Andromeda has not doomed the series. And the quote on here is, I've seen people saying, oh, EA is not making another Mass Effect. I see no reason why we shouldn't come back to Mass Effect. Why not? It's a spectacular universe, and it's a loved series. It has a big fan base, and it's a game that has done a lot for EA and for BioWare. So they're saying that they need to be cautious about it, and they need to be careful, but they are planning on eventually coming back to it from what they're saying. But we'll see. They've said this shit before. When was the last time we got the Lost Vikings game, really?
Well, they throw dumb little Lost Vikings references into later games.
They're in World of Warcraft.
And they're Heroes and Heroes of the Storm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you never know.
But fuck Anthem.
I would like to see Mass Effect come back. I'm just worried about if EA is saying this. Would EA let somebody who's not BioWare develop a Mass Effect game? I'm a little worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, it ultimately depends on who's involved. But I don't want a return to the Mass Effect franchise to be, oh, it's a clicker game on mobile.
Rob,
you have to mine the planets for resources.
I want the mic to pick this up.
What?
Thwarp. Furious fanning ensues. I'm shoving breadsticks into my purse as we speak.
Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we'll do some Ask Orange Lounge. Loki.
So Sega is developing a Fists of the North Star game. It's going to be the Yakuza team working on that, and it looks pretty awesome based off the trailer that they have right now. It's only confirmed it can be coming out in Japan, but something that hopefully we'll see more details from during Tokyo Game Show, which is going to be at the end of this September.
I can't believe Tokyo Game Show is sneaking up on us like that.
Yep.
Oh, man. There's going to be some exciting announcements at Tokyo Game Show. There's got to be. I feel like other companies have been like saving stuff for it, and maybe we'll get an update on some of these games.
Sony will actually have something.
Heck yeah. I'm excited. So, all right. Well, one more story for you guys tonight, and it has to do with the game that nobody asked for, but you're going to get it anyway. And it's Bubsy, the Woolly Strike Back. And there's even going to be a limited PlayStation 4 edition for you ultimate Bubsy fans that will include the software, the original soundtrack, Bubsy's business card, you know, for your file, and a mystery postcard. This extremely limited physical edition will be available at Best Buy, GameStop, and other online retailers. It's only $40 for what it's worth. So I will, despite the fact I'm having a laugh here at Bubsy, who knows? The game may actually be good. Who knows? This is only $40, and you have this extra junk. But it's
well, yeah,
extra
stuff. Charge $60 for it. Like going, what the fuck? I'm not buying that.
So, but anyway, the release date for all this, get this, October 31st, 2017. The perfect Halloween gift for your friends. Bubsy, the Woolly Strike Back. Available on PlayStation 4, Steam, and Ragenator, are you out there? Because they are actually advertising good old games, GOG.com, as one of the platforms that Bubsy is going to be available on right there. So, we'll see. There's a new trailer out there if you want to watch that. I'm happy to see the Accolade is back. Wake me up when they do Accolade Comics, which was one of my favorite Commodore 64 games in the world. Anyway, let's since we are unfortunately prevented from having a Skype line tonight, let's quickly open it up to any questions in our chat room with a segment that we call Ask Orange Lounge. In the past, I would usually make you send me a private message, but I'm not going to do that. If you want to just ask an open question in chat, it can be about games. It can be about pretty much anything.
I also have last-minute stories. I have two.
Good, because we need a few minutes for some questions come in. So Ask Orange Lounge in the meantime, stories.
Along with our Half-Life 3 story news, if you are looking to play Half-Life 3, well, I got some news for you, actually. Just released today, ModDB actually released, it's called Half-Life 2, what was it, Aftermath? And so you can check out some of the beta stuff that leaked out from Half-Life 2 Episode 3. I guess that they had been development. Some stuff leaked out, and they're working on making it playable, so you can play around some of the things that didn't actually make it into Half-Life 3 or Half-Life 3 or Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Yeah, so just go check it out, moddb.com, and they should have a link there. So that's kind of neat. And it includes 11 levels that were created by Valve between 2012 and 2013, 10 for Half-Life 3. Four demonstration levels. There's different NPC or no NPCs. They have some weapons and some characters, enemy types that were made for the game that never ended up coming out. And then finally, last but not least, this could be a tease of something that we might hear about soon, but there is a listing on Target for Game of Thrones or Bethesda Game of Thrones, which could be a Skyrim type game for Game of Thrones, or it could be just some erroneous shit that they have on Target.com.
Yes. But
whatever the case may be, there is something there that says Bethesda and Game of Thrones, and let our imaginations run wild.
But doesn't Telltale have the Game of Thrones stuff? Or is it one of those things where maybe they license it to multiple people?
They license it to multiple people.
I guess like Walking Dead did that.
Well, they had a Game of Thrones game that came out at one time. But
Telltale, I think did one, didn't they?
Well, they did one too, but there was an actual Game of Thrones game that came out that was something completely separate.
How to kill everyone and get away with it.
So that's it.
All right. Well, just a couple questions are coming in our chat room, but I guess we have enough that we can actually answer some questions here. Again, so in absence of a Skype line tonight. Let's ask Orange Lounge some stupid question. What will we find out this week on Orange Lounge Radio? I haven't sung this song in forever, it seems. And I think I might have forgotten all the lyrics.
Never had lyrics. Whee!
There's going to be people that have been listening to the show for like 3 years that are like, why does he do this? Why
They're
going
to make the Rob Roberts Orange Lounge music compilation.
That fucking already happened at some point.
No, they have to do the...
No, remember when John was still listening to the show? He did fucking... There was that Stepmania thing. Him and Dark Tetsuya put together like a whole Stepmania thing. And they had a song. There was a song in it that went Rob. It was one of your fucking
It was Rob Period.
Yeah, it was Rob Period. And then fucking Scott Rubin from All Games got a hold of it. And like, I would be tuning into All Games Radio randomly one day, and all of a sudden I'd hear... Rob, like it was Scott's like favorite fucking thing to come from this show, and I'd be like, what is happening here on this day?
By the way, congrats to him on the addition to his family.
Oh yes, of course, yes. Although he's probably out of Burning Man this weekend, if I know. He's probably doing ice cream at the playa, if I follow his life correctly, because I know he's in ice cream, he's in Burning Man. It just seems like a very
now
logical marriage of the two.
Let's go get pizza.
You want pizza?
Yes.
Can we put something on it that I'm not allowed to mention because it's J100 Matt? I like him a lot and I wanted to
pineapple.
Fine, you be the bitch. All right. Let's get to some questions in our chat room. There's actually quite a few here tonight. Let's do it. I apologize if we don't do all of these, but I will do a few of these. Bobby Black Wolf is asking question number one. What is your favorite troll question and why is it? Why is Chrono Trigger better than Super Metroid? What is your favorite troll question?
This one?
Yeah, actually, my favorite troll questions are these. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love this movie Showgirls, and why did you say 10? Like, I do like those types of questions are very good for trolling. Another trend I've seen on Twitter recently, and I forget the guy's username off the top of my head. I think it's Nintendo Legend. I think it's his name on Twitter. And he likes to do these polls that are, which of these games is the worst game ever? And it would you'll have two choices, Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario Brothers World or something like that. Or the two choices will be like The Legend of Zelda and Super Metroid. And people will reply, be like, fuck you. It's really funny. And
the
only
way to win is not to play.
Essentially. Do you have a favorite troll question, Dark Sakura? I guess that's a no. Trolling me now.
That was me trolling you.
All right. Act Deft, question number two. What's your favorite Pokemon and why? That's a good question. It's game related. What's your favorite Pokemon and why? I guess I'll start because I don't see my co-host at this
I have
point.
One.
Okay, what's your favorite, Dark
Sakura? Houndoom because goth.
Houndoom because you like goths? Okay.
He's goth.
Okay, I like that answer. Loki, do you have a favorite Pokemon and why?
Agumon. Kidding.
I don't. I mean,
how about like Porygon because he makes loud, annoying screeches? I'm
no,
just kidding.
I mean, it's probably like Eevee or something.
Eevee's cute. All yeah. the evolutions are popular.
Yeah.
My favorite, hands down, and I'm sorry to go Gen 1, but I have to because, you know, I remember watching the anime back in the day when the toys were at Burger King when I was in college. Jigglypuff is forever my fave because, and actually on my phone background, I even have a little Jigglypuff because.
Jigglycaliente.
Not Jigglycaliente. Well, that was the one time I was ever not. I was almost on TV. Was asking Jigglycaliente a question.
I thought yours was the picture of Jigglycaliente's face on Jigglypuff.
No, no, it's this. It's the little cute little background. I don't know.
Oh, that one. I felt for sure you had that. Your background was Jigglycaliente's face on Jigglypuff.
That's probably what you set as my picture whenever somebody whenever I call you.
No, you're still
Trixie.
You're still Trixie,
and yours is Katya. Yeah,
contact Rob. Contact aliens.
Oh, honey. By the way, they're getting a show. I'm so happy for them.
I know. Happy. Anyway, okay, back to the question.
I thank gay God every day that Trixie follows me on Twitter. I really do. But anyway.
I want Katya to follow me. I met Katya. Katya's great. And I met Detox.
Where was I? What was the question? Oh, yes. Favorite Pokemon is Jigglypuff. And because she has the microphone, and I always thought it was hilarious how she got really mad when people fell asleep when she's trying to sing, or in my case, talk, and she would draw on their face with a marker. I always thought that was really funny. So, yeah, Jigglypuff, forever my fave. All right. Let's see. Next question. Question number 3. Stoppy in chat asks, Rob, this weekend I went to my first live Rocky Horror Show performance, and I had a blast. I finally get that movie. If there was a game based on Rocky Horror, how would you make it? Survival horror, rhythm, point and click? Well, believe it or not, Stoppy, there are already 2 games based on the Rocky Horror Show. Not the picture show, but the show. Because the Rocky Horror Show was the play that started it all, right? And the picture show was just the movie. But the play is, I think to this day, still kind of a bigger deal in the UK. Like, I'm sure the movie's there and there's some cast, but I think the play is still a bigger deal.
The Broadway release.
And that's where it started. But because of that, in the 80s, on the Commodore 64, there was actually a Rocky Horror Show game. And it was kind of more like a point-and-click type adventure. I mean, a Commodore 64 style. Like, say Maniac Mansion, but like not nearly that good. It was very rudimentary. Then when they did a revival in the early 2000s, I want to say, it was when Anthony Stewart Head took the role of Frankenfurter, which, by the way, glorious casting. I know, God. Right? They released a CD-ROM version that was kind of like an updated version of that game. So technically, it has already existed as a game. So for that reason, I kind of say, yeah, point and click, but that's because I'm already tarnished knowing that those other games exist. So I think it would have to be a bit of a point and click adventure. But I would like to see something that would be like a sequel. But a rhythm or music game would be kind of cool, but I think it would be like a one-off cheap little thing. I don't think it would be like an actual, like, full-on game. So there you go. All right. Let's see. Moving on with a couple other questions here. Let's go to Ice P in our chat with question number 4. Have you played Slime Rancher? No, I have not. But this game just came up today in conversation, and somebody was telling, and it wasn't even during the show. Somebody was telling me I should play it. So
yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, I will check it out. It does look cool. I'll check it out. You haven't played it either, right?
I've watched videos of people playing it, so I know what it's about.
What the hell is it?
It's basically, like it says, Slime Rancher. So you build a ranch, uh-huh. and you're going out to the wild and catching slimes with like this like vacuum gun thing, and the slimes generate like currency that you build your ranch and stuff, and they do different things.
Well, that sounds cute.
So it can be like tricky because like some of the slimes like they stand on top of each other and escape, and you have to go catch
them. So it's kind of like Monster Hunter, sounds like.
No, it's very cute. It's less Monster Hunter. You're not really fighting things. You're okay. Just like, I don't know. It's just cool. You should check it out. It's cute.
All right. Darksoccer, is that anything you've ever played?
I'm not interested in it. It sounds really dull.
Mm-hmm. It's cute. Ooh, you should check it out. At least watch the trailer.
Kasen in chat. Question number 5. What's the best flavor of chips in the world? That's a good question. You know, I do love...
Do they mean chips or crisps?
I think we mean American chips in this case. So I always get super involved in these Lay's Do Us a Flavor contests, which were on a break last year, but they're back this year. And you know they have the new flavors. And you know I got to try every single one. So here's... I just want to give you quickly my hot take on the new Lay's flavors because it's important. Everything bagel plus cream cheese. taste exactly the same to me as Maui onion. I don't know why bagel and cream cheese taste like Maui onion. I guess because, you know, onion bagel, but they taste the exact same to me. Fried green tomato has a mayo aftertaste to me, and I can't fucking stand it. So that leaves, by default, the winner, crispy taco, which does taste like, it tastes like a taco.
So but is it fried green tomato?
Ugh. But my favorite flavor of chips, honestly, I'm going to go basic because sometimes the basics are the best. Pringles, which aren't even really potato. They're potato crisps. Like, you can't even really say they're chips. But Pringles, sour cream, and onion. Like, forever my sentimental fave, for sure. Loki, do you have a favorite?
It's a little unconventional, but I'm going to say poker because it tastes like smoking and despair.
Dark Sakura?
I've always been really fond of Sun Chips. But but I do have, like, the plain Sun Chips. But I do have a special place in my heart for Charles Chips, which you can only get in the Southeast. And what was the other one? The Maui onion. But it's that same flavor that has the Zaps. Is it Zaps or is it a different one?
No,
Zaps has that nasty pickle shit. That stuff's gross. Okay, Maui onion. Oh. I remember what my actual favorite is, Rob. It's the Terra sweets and beets.
Okay.
Sweet potato and beet chips.
All right, we're going to do just a few more here. We're going to do these kind of lightning rounds. We're going to pick it up and answer these fast. Akuma JP, why doesn't OLR play the Uncharted series? I've dabbled in it a little bit.
You want to buy it for me?
It's you can borrow mine if you want.
I'm not interested in it.
I honestly tried, but my gamer ADD kicked in and I never finished. The games weren't bad, though. I probably played more Tomb Raider than I did Uncharted 1 or 2, though. I really need to go back and give the trilogy a go on PS4. Loki?
I just haven't. They look neat. I just haven't gotten around to them.
We can't play all the games. We can't.
It never really set off an interest for me, so I never played it.
Let's see. Come on, Nolgus. This isn't a question, but it says, yes, we need a musical episode. No.
Suddenly,
you had one several hundred episodes.
Oh, that's
ago.
Right. Episode 69, we did Karaoke Revolution live on air, but Dark Sakura had the night off.
I wasn't
off that
here.
Night. She wasn't here, believe it or not.
I'll sing Suddenly Seymour.
All right. I like that song, actually. We can duet it.
No. I was
my feelings are hurt. The bitch just shot me down. Let's do a duet.
Not right now.
No. We're not going to do it. No. Mm-mm. No. We will not be. No.
I was actually trying to make a point about it. I was watching Little Shop of Horrors during the day of the eclipse because I could not get the songs out of my head.
Of course.
And then I went up looking like all these videos of Ellen Green.
Suddenly Seymour. Anyway. Where else are we? SG 100 Matt. What is the most expensive thing gaming related you've purchased that you've regretted? My PlayStation 4 Pro. Loki?
Building the first MAME cabinet because it costs several thousand dollars and it was kind of a waste of money for that. There's a lot of cheaper alternatives for that.
Dark Sakura?
I can't really think of anything. Maybe the N-Gage.
Okay, good answer.
Serious.
Wait a minute. I thought you didn't pay for it.
Okay.
I got it.
I don't really regret anything.
I regret nothing.
No, seriously. It's like we don't really have much shit in the collection. I regret ever renting the WWF Thunder. Or whatever, WCW Thunder, whatever Thunder was. And it was so bad that Blockbuster let us take it back and rent something different.
Dungeon Buster says, scariest time playing a Niantic game, Pokemon Go, etc. outside. I got pulled over by the police playing Ingress. And it was because I didn't do anything wrong, but I drove through a neighborhood because I was trying to get to where a baseball diamond was. And as I drove through the neighborhood, there were all these cop cars up and down the street. And as I was driving down the street, I was like, you know what? I don't need the portal that badly. I'm going to just keep on going. I wasn't looking at my phone or anything because I knew exactly where this portal was, where I go to park so I can get to the portal and all that stuff. So I was driving down the street and all these cop cars were there and I just noped the fuck out. Well, sure enough, one of them cop cars pulls right out, follows me, pulls me over and is like, what were you doing driving through there? Because at the time, I just bought that car that I have now because it's about a year ago. So my plates were temporary plates. So like I just had all the signs. So apparently they were looking for somebody. And when a unmarked car came through the neighborhood looking suspicious that nope the fuck out of there, they wanted to ask. So I had to actually explain Ingress. But thank God, I never thought I'd say this, but thank God Pokemon Go was a thing because I said to the officer, I said, okay, you know Pokemon Go? He said, yeah. I said, this is a very similar game. That baseball diamond over there that you guys are in front of is where I was trying to go. And he said, show me the game. And so I showed him the game and I showed him the baseball diamond. And, you know, he was kind of like, you know, he...
Nerd.
Well, I think he was just more like, I don't know if he believed me at first because I still had, it was so new. I had the paper registration and all that shit, right?
Wow.
So, you know, it took a good 15 minutes, but he ran it and then he was like, all right, you didn't do anything wrong. So I was like, I know I didn't do anything wrong. So I won't be going over there. But it pissed me off. I could have thrown a field and it would have been like 700 MU and I couldn't do it. Fucking resistance put those fucking police people out there. All right. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's see. Lastly, let's say, oh yeah, Nestio 100 Matt points out.
I didn't answer the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I didn't realize you had a scary Pokemon Go moment.
Riding with you.
Would you like to share something too, Loki?
I don't think I've ever had a scary moment.
I've had a moment I was pissed off.
Let's see. SJ100 Matt says, Rob did play Ingress in single-digit temperatures during MAGFest. That is true. All right. One more, and then we're going to wrap up here. And this is a good one from SJ100 Matt, who says, we need some OLR or VOG t-shirts. Can we make those happen someday? Shout out to any listeners that are able to design t-shirts that would want to help out on this.
You know what? I've designed VOG shirts. I designed the logo that went on the shirt.
Those shirts were those little polo shirts that we kind of did for hosts.
I could design a shirt, no problem.
Let's look at like a generic shirt that we could wear. But I would want to do something more than just the logo. You know what I mean? Something about
it's
like,
going to say Orange Lounge Radio, and on the back it'll say "Eat my entire ass."
I don't think that sells the show very well. I don't know. Obviously,
lowering standards for 15+ years.
Yeah. Okay, if you guys are talking Orange Lounge Radio shirts, then yes, we can do gutter humor. That's fine. If we do VOG shirts,
an ocean of piss. Or piss into an ocean of piss.
That iTunes review is still up somewhere. Oh, that's what we should do. We should take... Okay. We'll take Orange Lounge... So this is the OLR shirt, not the VOG shirt. We'll take OLR, and we'll take some of our greatest reviews from iTunes. It's like pissing in an ocean of piss was one of them. I just take like all our 1-star reviews and just put them on a shirt. But
no.
I don't want to glamorize people doing 1-star reviews because then we're going to get more of them. So only 5-star reviews that were funny.
I'm just going to do like the OLR world tour and it's going to be like here in Atlanta. That's it.
All right.
It'll be like the places we've actually been to for the show.
So we need to first off, we need to agree on an appropriate storefront because Bobby is raising a point that he had a couple storefront ideas, but we kind of shot those down. So we need to figure out who's going to do it and kind of go from there. So we will, if the demand is there, we will work on it. I've heard there are some new t-shirt places that are like Kickstarter-y.
We've been to Seattle.
Where they don't print the shirt until like all the orders are in and then they do it. And I kind of like that model. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea. And then I think you get a better quality shirt than you do something like Cafe Press or something.
Yeah, there's a lot more places no one's going to use Cafe Press anymore.
Exactly. There's more options. So I would look into one of those types of sites or something. So we hear you, and yes, we'll try to make something happen either on an OLR or a VOG level. If only I had a chance to meet with Bobby Blackwolf this week. And you guys in our chat. Oh, and Akuma JP actually links me to Uniqlo. I don't know what this is. I guess I'll bring this up. But I got to say, there's some Uniqlo shops here in the U.S. And I've just been introduced to that chain because we went to one in Chicago. And I actually bought one of their Nintendo shirts that was awesome. It has like a big Mario sprite in the corner. Okay, yeah.
You can
this
order
has,
like, online.
The peanuts sprites and stuff. So there's still some stuff in here. It's really cute. So, yeah, there's some really cute picks, really cute shirts in here. So, yeah, I'm familiar with Uniqlo. It's a fun store. So, all right. We need to wrap up, though. We need to get out. It's after 9 o'clock, and people have other things they want to do, and so forth. So we're going to wrap up. First, I'm going to say thanks for listening. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for listening to Orange Lounge Radio tonight, and thanks for participating. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here for us to use them. So please help us spread the word. A 5-star review on
we're
a nice
like
site.
Ursula
like
for your voice.
That's right. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or a similar site, wherever you found this show. Believe me, those go a long way. I think I've seen in the last year one new review show up on iTunes. So could you help me out? I really appreciate it. Of course, many of you already did it years ago, and I still appreciate that. Anyway, other final thoughts. Let's get to it. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I have to go home and watch Game of Thrones because my wife has no impulse control and she's on the internet and she's going to spoil it for herself.
I am going to watch Twin Peaks while I get ready to do some packing and so forth for Dragon Con because I leave early on Wednesday. This year I have an early flight. Usually I get in late at night, but this year I'm getting in like Wednesday afternoon. So please don't rain out Dragon Con, because I do want to try to do some Pokemon Go and stuff outdoors. So please don't rain out my Dragon Con. Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I fucking called that shit.
All right, that's going to do it.
Rob, what? Tell Cersei it was me.
Sure. We'll do it all again in 14 days. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Relax, have fun, game. I'm sure there's many conventions. Not just Dragon Con, but PAX. We have stuff here locally as well, and I'm sure in your neighborhood as well. So have fun with whatever you're doing this weekend, and we'll see you in 14 days with a new episode of Orange Lounge Radio.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.